On PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the police.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. A very rainy, thank goodness, Wednesday, because they predicted snow.
Oh, there's going to be snow in places.
Yeah.
It's just how east it gets.
Right. Well, anyway, it's
and it
wet.
Looks like it's out there. There may be a little slush to it.
You see it a little bit. Yeah. Starting to get a little colder.
Getting ready for Green Bay.
So it's a very precipitous. Is that precipitous? No.
No.
Precipitationist? I don't know. Anyway, it's wet.
Precipitous drop off.
Here at Gillette Stadium. Teams getting ready for the Green Bay Packers. And, of course, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, so this is our last show of the week. So we've got a jam-packed show. We're going to have to do our picks later on today. Three games tomorrow, two of them real good games. The first one, Chicago and Detroit. But the other two are going to be good games, so a lot of good TV to watch. And if you are a viewer of the PFW show, we will be showing it tomorrow, regular time, 7:30 on CSNNNE.
And we understand you probably won't want to actually watch the show, but if you could leave it on when you fall asleep in your chair, just so we get credit for a rating.
Well,
point,
we don't, unless they have a Nielsen
have a box.
Yeah. You know, that'd be, I don't know, what type of agreement do Nielsen box people have to not tell anyone that they have a box?
Oh, I don't know.
Because I've never heard anyone even say, yeah, I have a box.
One actually has a box.
No, I think they
it's
do.
It's the biggest scam in history.
Well, we always say that no matter what the subject, we have someone out there.
Well, we
that...
had a guy, remember?
Really?
We have a guy that listens. I don't know if he's listening now, but about a year and a half ago, he works for Nielsen.
He works for Nielsen.
Yeah.
But I'd like someone to email or call in that has a box at their home.
Let the calls begin. Yeah, I got a box. Her name's Sally.
But I'm wondering, like, because I think they get paid. And so I'm wondering if, like, if they'd ever got out that they told someone
they'd lose their
they'd
box.
Lose their box and their money.
Because I told you, I got the dollar bills one time to do a radio book. They give you five, like, brand new $1 bills, and they ask you to fill out a
and
little
that's
radio.
That's it?
Book. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And you don't have to send it back. I mean, it's on the honor code.
No,
they
I
gave
know.
You $5.
Yeah.
But I did it, but I didn't really do it because I was like, oh, I should send that back. So I just kind of thought about what I usually listen to.
And, right.
but it's so archaic, the whole thing.
It really is.
I'm sorry. It's a two-way box. Tell me exactly what everybody watches right now.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Big news.
Yeah?
Big news.
What do you got?
Special teams.
Yes.
Matthew Slater, a two-year extension, and Charlie Hewlett back on the practice squad, the long snapper. So Bill wasn't happy, apparently, with the continued inconsistency of Danny Aiken.
But also, didn't Aiken show up on the injury report? Or is going to?
Well, I don't know if he's going to.
Yeah, I heard that he is.
How'd you hear that?
That's kind of...
Suddenly you have sources?
And some people think it's just kind of a...
C.J. Mosley thing? Like, tweaking, they heard our guy?
Right. This wasn't just a stupid play. He actually did damage.
See, I just assume Bill's get... I think Aiken has been pretty inconsistent.
Oh, that too.
Dating well back to last year.
Yeah, he's had...
At some point, you just say, he's not that good.
He's had one or two a year.
Right.
Yeah.
And you don't want to have it cost you.
No.
You're rolling. So now you're starting to sort of check off what, you know, the
thing. Is this other guy any better?
Probably not.
No.
That's why he's out of work.
Right.
But imagine if the season, you know, we talk about all this stuff, Revis, Gronkowski, Brady, and the season somehow comes down to Danny freaking Aiken with a bad snap that ends up screwing you.
Yeah.
That would be...
It's not what we're looking for.
That would be really bad.
Where's Paul?
He's doing the PF open locker room right now. So Eric and Paul are in the locker room. He's doing the PFW interview, and then he'll be coming by. And then I need to get out of here early because I'm going to EEI. I'm a little worried about the traffic.
Going to EEI?
A big day on EEI. My triumphant return, as they like to say there.
Oh, okay. Who are you with?
Dale, and I don't know who.
Okay.
Because Jerry Thornton's off this week. Did you see his...
Yeah, his son graduated.
That's very cool.
Boot camp.
That's very cool.
Marine boot camp at Parris Island.
It's hard for me to come to grips with that. Like, I think of Marines as...
Hard
man's man.
Right.
And Jerry Thornton's just kind of like a ball-busting
little... Well, you know, a lot of kids want to be exactly opposite of their parents, so...
And he sent out a picture. Did you see the picture?
Oh, yeah.
He's like a foot taller than
him.
Like,
right.
What you think a Marine is. And then there's Jerry with just like the big smiling glasses next to him.
Right.
But that's awesome. I think that's very cool.
Yep,
it
is.
Give credit to anybody who goes that route and
absolutely
gets it done.
And gets it done.
Right.
Yep.
Well, it's one thing to want to do it, but to make it through. Yeah. I think a lot of people want to do it and then kind of wash out.
Good stuff. Congratulations to him. He's a proud papa. All right. We should probably just get right into the emails because it is going to be a jam-packed show. You leaving and Paul.
Coming and Eric.
Eric.
Picking and,
yeah.
You so, like this week, by the way?
Do I like this week?
I mean, you're a big... Because I know Bill always jokes about Thanksgiving.
Of all the holidays, probably Thanksgiving isn't one of my higher ones.
I like it.
You know, I'm just not a big turkey... First, I'm not a big turkey guy.
Oh, yeah, you guys do... Don't you do lobster or something?
Yeah, go out to eat or whatever. But, you know, so the whole holiday around a meal thing, it never really appealed to me, even as a kid.
You don't like a holiday that's based around a meal?
No.
What is wrong with you? Yeah.
I love Christmas. You know, Halloween as a kid was great. New Year's not so much anymore, but at one time.
But what about the football? The
I like 4th of July, you know.
I think it's kind of cool. Even people that aren't really football people watch football on this day.
Yeah.
And
I like watching football.
Like my son said, yeah, I don't know what we're doing in the afternoon. I know I'll be on the couch with Uncle Ricky watching the game. Like, I just think that's kind of funny that's what it is. You eat, you get fat, and then you watch football.
Yeah.
I like it. The only part that's overrated is that whole pumpkin pie thing, but that's...
You don't like pumpkin pie?
I think it sucks.
Why can't you have apple pie?
I do.
Blueberry pie.
No, I do.
Yeah.
But everybody always has a pumpkin pie, and everybody tries to convince me that pumpkin pie is great.
It is good.
It isn't. It's like a quiche or a custard, and it's nice.
It is like a custard, but it's not as good as blueberry and apple, but it's a good pie.
It's the worst of the pies, by far.
Oh, you don't like pecan pie?
I love pecan pie.
More than...
God, yes.
I take pumpkin over pecan.
I don't take pumpkin over anything.
What about lemon meringue?
Is my favorite. A good lemon meringue pie is the best pie there is.
It's a good pie. It's a good pie.
So, I mean, literally, you have yet to name a pie that I would take above...
Huckleberry?
I've never had that.
Oh,
okay. Is that a real pie?
Mincemeat?
I've actually had that, and it's not bad, because it's not really mincemeat anymore.
No.
It's like fruit or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like that better. I think pumpkin pie, and then you do the pumpkin and the squash, and I don't even know the difference.
A pumpkin pie with a dab of whipped cream on top. It's very
sucks.
Good. It's very good.
Sucks.
No, it doesn't suck.
Absolutely
Well, you've
sucks.
Had bad pumpkin pie.
No, I don't think I have, because I've tried a lot of pumpkin pies, and they all taste the same. They taste like pumpkin pie. Not good.
Okay.
Who decided pumpkin was good? It isn't.
It's not bad. I mean, obviously.
I agree. It's not bad. It's right. Not like you're eating poop.
No. There are other pies I'd prefer, but you seem to really be against pumpkin
because
pie.
Because everybody tries to just jam it down your throat like it's good. It isn't. Everybody would be better off if they got off the kick of pumpkin pie and got a real dessert.
Okay.
Speaking of food.
Yeah, Kevin just brought it
up. Oh!
Turkey wraps. Really?
You got the turkey wrap.
Okay. All right. Let's get into some of the emails. Let's see. Matt starts it out, and he's from Cranston, Rhode Island, I believe. Yes. I've written a few times, and I'm a huge fan of the show, but I just recently started watching the TV show on CSNNNE. Great insights and analysis, and I'm not sure you guys could listen to it, but Jonathan Kraft on the Sports Hub pregame show mentioned all the terrific contributions you guys make. If only you had the power to get rid of Gresh on that pregame show. So a little check. Paulie, I'm a big fan. I love you on Sunshine Radio. By the way, other listeners, you can download just the third hour of every Wednesday's Felger and Mash show, which I like to call the Paulie Hour. And Fred, is there any way to make podcasts available on Patriots.com for when you guys go on other shows, like how you make Patriots Monday interviews available? I've heard about spots that Andy and Paul do and would love to hear them, but without knowing a lot more about the station, like Andy mentions on AM station in Quincy or something, it's tough to follow up. No, we couldn't do that.
Why couldn't
we? The reason why we can do EI, because we literally own that content on Mondays and Fridays.
But why couldn't, and I don't care. I'm not like trying to pump my own whatever here. But if people wanted that,
we could ask permission to do it.
And put links, right, to
their
website?
Yeah. It's not that good, believe me.
It really isn't. I don't think that people really know that they're not missing anything.
Right.
But.
And while we're talking contributions, can I request more Fred calls into the post-game show?
Yes.
The call 2 weeks ago about the Gray game was awesome. After a big win, having a homer like Fred is a nice touch to Andy swabbing Gronk's undercarriage in Beatles Quincy Boy roots. But Fred also attends every road game, so we can comment on the atmosphere and other things that we miss watching the game on TV. Heck, even a pregame hit from Fred would be fun, as we hear about the night before Pat's fan club meetup, Eric striking out with lesbians, etc. And Fred, great call on Gray. His indie game was terrific. He was explosive. He hit the hole hard and followed the big men up front. I have a question about Gray, but not for Fred. Fred keeps saying he saw something in preseason, and nobody else thought they saw it. Am I the only one who hears that? Assume that Fred had seen a Jonas Gray sex tape. The morning show featuring John Wallach found a tape of a stand-up performance that Gray did one time, so I was thinking that Fred had used his internet connections to find a long-hidden sex tape featuring Gray's bedroom moves, and now every time that I hear Fred talking about Gray's power, his explosiveness, the moves he saw from Gray in the preseason, and how well Gray hits the hole, naughty thoughts, and then I wonder, how does Andy not hear this? Well, no.
So you have not seen a Jonas Gray sex tape?
I have not.
Just for the record.
No.
But you did see something you liked in it.
I did. I compared to all the other backs on the field.
You and Bill Belichick.
I thought he was showed the most promise. So there you go.
I give you credit. Now are you worried?
A little bit.
What do you think about this week? Because they don't have a good – I believe they're 30th run defense.
I think they're going to have both of them out in the field for sure.
And you think it will be sort of an equal split or
– Yeah.
You know, how do you
– I do.
I kind of agree with you. Yeah. I think Blunt might get the first set of carries whenever they're kind of looking to run the ball.
Yeah.
But I do think Gray will get theirs, and I could easily see 12 and 12.
Yeah, I see Gray as a subordinate in this one. I see him coming in like Bolden used to come in for Ridley. You know, I see it more like that. But I think Gray will get his touches.
Yeah, because you have to say that basically the last 2 months or month and a half that we've seen of LeGarrette Blount on a Patriots field have been really impressive.
Pretty good. Yeah.
I mean, four touchdowns. Like,
yeah.
You got to like what you've seen from him and his ability to break tackles and make plays for this
now,
offense.
Now, going off that, do you see the game plan being run first?
No, but I think you could see passing out of running sets, passing with Blount on the field, passing with Gray on the field, not necessarily the Shane Vereen spread sets. I do think this is going to be a pretty balanced game plan. I think the ideal in this game would be, 30, 30-something passes and runs.
Keep them guessing.
Because
keep them on their heels.
I don't think they're a very good defense.
Yeah.
I don't think they're a very good run defense. They've proven that by having to move Clay Matthews to inside linebacker to sort of kind of put a finger in the dike there, so to speak. Their back end, Ha-Ha Dix, is playing, but I don't think he's like been a great surprise. So I think you're going to be able to do what you want to do against them either way, and I think this is a balanced game.
Last time the Patriots played Green Bay, it was here in Foxborough. They did a very good job of neutralizing Matthews. He was on the outside then, of course, but he hardly showed up in that game.
I think they generally do a pretty good job against elite pass rushers.
Yeah.
More often than not, you almost never see just a guy dominate a game. I mean, there's been ones over the years, Jason Taylor, and, you know, you go back far enough.
Yeah.
But in general, I don't think they let the star. Now, you got to remember, Julius Peppers, I think, has looked pretty good in his first year in Green Bay, playing that linebacker role. You've seen a couple long interception returns. You've seen him in coverage. I think he only has 4.5 sacks or something like that. Not huge numbers. But they got a couple athletes that can give you problems up front. Overall, I don't think the defense is very good.
Stu in Newcastle, England, a huge fan. I love the show. You guys never fail to make me laugh. Can't wait for the game Sunday. It has a real blockbuster feel to it.
Yep.
I can see Bill approaching the game in the same way he did against the Colts, running the ball early, using an extra lineman, and trying to take advantage of their below-average run defense. Then set up.
You know, you could see that. Like, I'm not ruling that out. I think you're going to see it be pretty balanced, but given the idea of the whole, oh, we'll keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline by running the football,
right,
and you now have two backs you feel like you can lean on.
So if
by the way, sorry to interrupt you, but when I went outside, it is snowing out.
Okay, good. So if you could choose about which one you'd want to see if you can do first, run or pass, which would it be?
Run.
Yeah.
I know they can pass.
Yeah.
I know they can pass against almost anybody, as long as Brady's not getting pressured, you know, as long as Peppers and Matthews are not ruining the game. They can throw.
Stu also says, I haven't been as excited about a bunch of guys on defense since the 03 team as I am about this group. Even Revis himself said it's the best group he's been a part of. Hopefully this plays a part in him staying beyond this year. Patriots win 34-24. Keep up the great work and happy Thanksgiving.
I was actually listening to Felger and Maz on the way home yesterday, and what argument were they debating and whatever? Is this the best? Is this defense as good or better than 2004 and that group? And they were going down the whole thing, and, you know, Felger thinks it's as ridiculous as Paul and I do that anyone would make that comparison at this point. But I did find it funny that I leave here, and what do I hear? The same argument we're having.
Hey.
Great minds think alike.
As always, they're stealing from us.
That's right.
That's Paul.
Paul's here.
Who'd you talk to?
Patrick Chung.
Good.
Nice.
He was fine.
Nice.
He was fine.
Did he say?
You know what? We should have a. We
nice.
Should,
he was fine.
We should just have, as good as he was the second time. The
we
first
should have
time.
A deal with PR that if we put the guy in the cover, we get him in the show.
Okay. I'm fine with that, but.
And that includes Brady?
And Belichick?
Sure.
You almost swallowed your Adam's apple.
Sure.
I'm fine with
it. Also talked to Danny Amendola a little bit about.
Oh, you and Danny.
Returns. Well, no. Don't. It was a group.
Danny Amendola told me.
Nah, see, I did not say
and
that.
And 25 other people.
I did not say that. It was a large group. And just talked about how much he's always loved special teams and he's loving his opportunity to make some plays and to contribute in that way. I kind of chuckled just because I let a little of my Andy come out and. You know, my snarky side. He was asked about, you know, playing at Lambeau Field and what it was like. But he's never played at Lambeau Field. And I chuckled because he didn't play because he was hurt. So he missed games. Actually, Patrick Chung also has never played at Lambeau. He was on Philadelphia, but he goes, I was just sort of hanging out. I didn't play.
All right. Let's
Patrick Chung cooks on Thanksgiving and jerk chicken, ribs, sounded phenomenal. I said, nothing says Thanksgiving like ribs.
Absolutely.
I said I wanted to go over to Patrick's house.
A little non-traditional?
Yeah. Well, in addition to all the regular.
Let's see. John from Seattle, who's a brother of the crazy Pats fan Sandy Siegel, who I know. She's
okay.
A big fan from Arizona, but now living in Colorado, I believe. Huge fan. Anyway, he writes, enjoy listening. Two of you are very knowledgeable. I don't know which two. Some of your shows remind me of a Farrelly Brothers movie. Have you guys watched the replay of the Green Bay versus Minnesota game? Green Bay defense will not stop our offense. Lions D is two times the D, and we hung 34, even with TFB having a mediocre day. Teddy Bridgewater missed 6 to 8 open receivers. Their D is vulnerable. I know they're at home against us, but we will score on them. Comes down to our D having a decent day. On to San Diego after our win. Fred, see you at the Patriots Saturday night party. That's John from Seattle.
Now, are you committing to a Saturday night party?
I'm going to be there, for sure.
You've said that before.
Yeah, no, this is a big one.
Where is this?
This is the Players restaurant. It's in a strip mall in San Diego. They've had a party there before.
Oh.
You were there. It was the Giants, the World Series game.
Yeah, no,
Giants were in it.
Yeah. I thought you were committing to a party this week.
No. The Green Bay, I don't think so.
I recall.
I don't think so.
Do you think Brady was off? He was one of the FedEx Air Players of the Week.
Maybe in the second half a little bit, but not really. No, he had a great game.
I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought he was fine.
Yeah.
But he has a high standard he sets at times.
And I agree with that. You know, a good day for him might be a great day for someone else. I sign off on that. I thought he was pretty good. 38 for 53, something like that. I thought he was pretty good. I don't think that was one of his off days just because he threw a pick.
Peter in Ottawa, I'm very impressed with both Andy and Paul for admitting that Browner had a great game against Detroit. Most people in the media never admit when they're wrong, and it is nice to hear them both give Browner his props.
Wait a minute, I never admitted I was wrong.
Also tell Andy to
cut. But we're not most people in the media either.
And I will always admit when I'm wrong, but I don't believe that's an admission you're wrong when I didn't think he played well, and then he
right.
played well.
Right.
It's an observation.
Also tell Andy to cut out gluten and avoid processed sugar to help with his IBS. It worked for me.
I know. That just seems like a lot of work.
It is. The non-gluten diet is very difficult.
Right. And I don't like – Deidre has tried it. The pasta I think we tried I didn't like. There's a lot of stuff I eat that has gluten in it. You got to go gluten-free beer because beer, I believe, has gluten in it.
You just drink on regular nights.
I don't.
You'd never be able to.
I mean, I do sometimes, but you make it sound like I drink.
You do.
I have a beer.
You do.
I have decided, and I told you this on this show, I believe, that I used to drink too much soda, and now I'll just have a single beer instead of a single soda.
Now I just get
sloshed. A single beer.
Jason from Indiana, happy beer. Thanksgiving. Sunday, I emailed the pregame social and decided to give a first-time shout-out to the PFW Elite. I have listened to the show for a number of years and have to say you are the best damn sports talk show, period. Felger and Maz can stick it. Anyway, my question is about defensive matchups on Sunday. I'm wanting to see Revis match up on Randall Cobb and Browner on Nelson.
Yep.
I think that with Browner's size, he should handle the 6'3 Nelson in short routes, but worried about the speed and whatever or not he can keep pace with him downfield. What do you think about those matchups, and can we trade Big Al to the Jets for Fireman Ed and a fan to be named later? Just kidding, Big Al, not really a trade.
I am very concerned with those back shoulder fades that everybody talks about. Brady anointed Rodgers and Nelson the best at it. And if you think about it, the question you have about Browner is the deep speed. Well, if he's worried about that, he is so susceptible to that back shoulder because he's trying to make sure the guy.
Sure.
So now you're saying, okay, we're going to have McCourty over the top, but you have to have that seamless transition and confidence.
Right.
Where Browner is now going to say, I'm going to play the short stuff and the back shoulder fades. If he gets by me, McCourty have him.
The communication has to be excellent.
And especially with Rodgers, he's not going to miss it.
And
you see that sometimes with a Joe Flacco.
Right.
Okay, the safety's late and Flacco might miss it. Rodgers will not miss it.
And
he'll beat your ass.
And when I say communication, I don't mean verbal. I mean awareness.
Time, yes.
You know?
Spot on. Right. It's almost like Brady in the offense. It's the reverse of that. Browner needs to know exactly where McCourty's going to be and when he can kind of let go and give some ground. That is a fear of mine because anyone knows this. Whatever position you play, if it's linebacker, inside linebacker, if you're worried about your speed, you overrun things, and all of a sudden you open up cutback lanes. Well, if you're worried about your speed as a corner, you're trying to get too deep, and all of a sudden he just stops, comes back, and you just gave up a 15, 20-yard
play. That's the beauty
play.
Of that pass.
Right.
Yeah. So, and Rodgers is so accurate.
Right. That's the matchup, I think, because I can't imagine they want Randall Cobb on Brown.
Paul, you know what that is. Or,
that's a tough matchup. That's a wide receiver against a cornerback, and we don't want that. So,
I
do think that Revis will take that, although it'd be interesting to see how they go about it with Arrington. You know, maybe they want Arrington involved in that matchup with Cobb, because they don't really have Davante Adams has sort of come on lately,
yep,
but they don't have the wide array that some of the other, like even Indianapolis a couple of weeks ago.
No, it's those two.
It's mostly Nelson and Cobb, and then they sprinkle in a tight end here or there with Qualis. And
I believe Lacy is the third in terms of receptions at like 29.
Yeah, so
58, 68, boom, down to 29 for Lacy.
Okay.
And it's 9 and 10 touchdowns, 9 yep for Nelson, 10 for Cobb. So,
yeah, so it's
that's the two guys.
Far more than like 55% or something of their offense.
19 to their 30
guys
touchdown passes, right, have gone to Nelson or Cobb.
So you'd say similarly last week, you're dealing with two big targets, you know, right? And you dealt with them.
Yeah.
So another chance, 2 for 2. That was actually my final point in from the heart, which Fred's been pushing for people to watch tomorrow night.
Yeah. Just want to remind people that even though it's Thanksgiving, we'll still be on at 7:30.
I just reminded him to fall asleep with the clicker on Comcast, so we'll get credit.
Yeah.
I've also asked
tough times.
If anyone's out there that is a Nielsen box owner, you know, just
step
call
aside
in.
The first time he goes, if you got a box in your house, call in. And I go, uh-oh, here come the phone calls.
All right, let's go over to the phones. Kevin? Let's give the phone callers a chance on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Trey's in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
Give the phone callers
a chance. How's it going?
Great.
All right. It's coming up, man. I know it's a big game. I'm looking at the tackle and the center position. Clay Matthews he's at Mike linebacker now, and I'm looking at Julius Peppers at that speed and rush in. I'm not as shaky about it, but you know, I have concern. Julius Peppers has been getting a lot of sack fumbles, man. So, and you know, our guy Brady, he has a tendency to let the ball go. So, I mean, do you guys think we're gonna kind of use an extra tight end or whatever to kind of help Solder out?
Well, I think what they do a really good job of a lot of times is getting guys in coverage. They use their formationing to get guys like Peppers or 3-4 outside rush ends into coverage and taking them out of their game. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, we've seen a lot of Peppers in coverage this year. He's got a couple interceptions with long returns. He seems like he has settled in pretty well into that outside linebacker role for Dom Capers. And, you know, the challenge with Matthews is, you know, what Bill always said, you got to find him first. They have been moving him all over the front. I saw one of, what do you call the infographics or whatever, Fred, where people were showing in a given game how many
visually
snaps he had at all the different places. So it's not like you can just say, you know, oh, well, good, Matthews is in the middle. He's a Mike. We don't have to worry about the edge or anything. They move him around quite a bit.
Right.
That said, I still think, and I said this, I think this is going to be a traditional game. I think you could see, you know,
ground and pound.
Well, ground and pound, passing, play action out of running sets, a tight end, you know, kind of not necessarily spreading it out in those Vereen formations. I think you're going to see Blunt in the backfield and some passes and things of that nature. So I'm intrigued to see what Josh, I do think he will throw a lot of different formations and personnel groups, but I think a lot of it will be weighted towards sort of traditional sets.
Yep.
Okay, I want to leave my pick, man. I want to leave my game of prediction of score. I'm picking, I'm thinking we're going up 37, more like 37-24.
Okay.
All right, guys, man.
Happy Thanksgiving, Trey.
All right, you guys.
Thanks for calling in.
I like it.
37-24. Yeah, it seems to be what a lot of people are saying.
Yeah, points are going to be scored. You got the two best offenses. You got Brady and Rodgers, their first matchup here. You know, the Super Bowl preview, MVPs, one guy in his prime, the other guy kind of fending off Father Time. I actually really like the story of this game.
Joseph's in Virginia. Hey, Joseph.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Great.
Hey. I got a question today. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. You guys do a great job, so I appreciate you guys entertaining us all the way in Virginia. my question today is about if the team was to win the Super Bowl. You know what happens to every team that wins the Super Bowl. It happened to Baltimore. It somewhat happened to the Seahawks. You know how when a team wins the Super Bowl, soon after that, you know, the team is somewhat gutted out. You know, guys want to cash in and, you know.
Or they can win it in 03 and then win it again in 04.
Well, or yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and I don't think the Patriots really have anybody that's going to be retiring. Like Baltimore had two major pieces of their Super Bowl retire at the end of their career. I don't really think that that's I'm with Fred. I don't think that's really an issue.
Well, here's my question then, because we have a lot of guys or some guys in there that sign short contracts, like, you know, 1 year deals or 2 year deals. We're talking about Patrick Chung or. You know, you're talking about Revis, who may not be, you know, who may or may not come back next year. Or you're talking about people in IR or, you know, like Ridley or Mayo, or, you know, folks like that, that, you know, they may have lost the spot in the team, so to speak, because, you know, other guys have come up. Who, in all actuality, do you guys actually see still being with the team should we win the Super Bowl? Like, who do you guys see, you know, still being with the team, you know, after all, you know, all is all said and done with, you know, and that includes also, like, productions, guys like Dobson or Amendola, you know, like, or rather lack of productions, you know, who do you guys still see being with the team?
Well, I think, I mean, obviously a good chunk will remain. They're under contract and, you know, your offensive line for the most part will be back, your tackles. Obviously Brady, Gronkowski, Edelman, the core of your passing game with LaFell. I think the interesting one, and we've talked a little bit about this, is the back end. And we've talked about Revis, how it might affect him to win a Super Bowl and how he is willing to come back, not come back, or hit the market. Devin McCourty. You know, if you win a Super Bowl and all the talk is about the pass defense and suddenly the Devin McCourty train is sort of inflating his value, that's a key guy that I think you could lose. And if you lose Revis and McCourty, this super deep secondary we're talking about will, as he used the word gutted, you'll be a little bit gutted there if you lose Revis and McCourty.
Yeah, Revis would be one, obviously, that I would worry about. But beyond that, there's always going to be turnover.
Right.
I mean, every team every year has turnover.
They didn't lose Logan Mankins because they lost the Super. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
and I don't
were
think.
Were they gutted?
Like Seattle. I think that's sort of one of those things that's overblown. I think Seattle is having problems handling prosperity. I don't think that Seattle has been gutted from their Super Bowl team last year. I think that Percy Harvin was a problem for them, like a off-field problem in their locker room. And that's why they traded him, not because. Well, a lot of times when you win, people are looking to get theirs. He already got his. They got rid of him because he was a problem.
It happens on every team, right?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Every
team has turnover. The
Denver Broncos lost the Super Bowl, and they got gutted.
And they lost Eric Decker.
No, Sean Marino went. Eric Decker went. You know what I mean? Like,
and they'll sign guys to replace those guys just like Seattle did. And Seattle, actually, I think, is probably in better shape in terms of contracts long-term than they were heading into the Super Bowl. They locked up some of those guys.
I mean, we have to be to the point where it's what? You expect 30-something players to return and 20-ish players to
Right. That's just NFL.
Right.
As Bill says every year, your team is different every year.
Now, he says it turnover. Kind of dismissively and with tone, but it's true. Like, you're going to have pretty major
reason, you know, take
turnover.
A shot at him.
Well, he does. I'm just going to point out the obvious. And people get mad, I think. Well, that's the NFL. I mean, it's been like that for. He's right. Just because you get mad because he's being kind of mean to you. That's right.
JD in Tennessee has an off-the-wall email. He says, non-football, I just wanted to share that I am deep-frying my turkey this year,
nice.
And I'm planning on stuffing it with a Cornish hen so when we cut it up, I can act surprised and say, oh, my God, it was pregnant, just to mess with the kids. Do you think it's funny and memorable or just gross?
How old are the kids? I think it's funny. Yeah. I like the idea. Be careful, by the way. You always hear the tragedies of people screwing that up.
With deep frying turkeys?
Yeah. They do it in the garage or something, and all of a sudden they light the whole damn house on fire.
He says Pats 21, Green Bay 20.
21-20?
That's
really
the first
surprising.
Score that would really surprise me.
Yeah.
If it were that low scoring.
Yeah. I know I'm a broken record here, but
Do you see any way the Patriots don't get to 30?
See, I don't, but who knows? I mean, it's supposed to be cold and it might snow. You never know.
And you have the best bad weather quarterback in football.
As long as it's not hot.
Right.
Fred says it was hot on opening day. Right. So as long as it's not hot.
We have the best bad weather quarterback, but we have the worst good weather quarterback.
We don't have a good weather quarterback.
That's the defense one. Chris with a T-I-A-N.
How many points they scored in the second half?
Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, you turkey.
Happy Thanksgiving. PSW Nation, keep it moving on the calls today. All right, they got to do picks.
That's right.
I'd like to say, I'm going to deep fry Jumbo's mama and stuff her with my attention.
Oh, get her. Get the. Thanks for the call, Christian.
Gobble, gobble. All right.
To be fair, do you ever do a turkey?
I beg your pardon?
I know you hate it. Do you, like, do it yourself? Prepare it or whatever?
Me cook it?
Yeah.
No.
That stuff you pull out is so gross.
Oh, I've done that. I've prepared a turkey.
No, I don't even mean... I'm not
all
killing
the gizzards
it,
and all and that stuff. Yeah,
the neck bone or whatever. Yeah. That looks like a, you know what that looks like? It's gross.
Looks like a spine a little bit, right?
I think it looks like a schlong a little bit.
I think everything to you looks like that. This bag of potato chips in front of me looks like it to you,
Fred. Did you ever notice that?
Right. Yeah.
It always looks like the male genitalia.
Right.
It's never,
right.
never female.
It's always on
male.
His mind.
Male, right. Always male.
Right.
Have you? If you saw it, it looks like a. What did she say in the open? A massive erection.
Let's go to Eric in New Jersey. Hey, Eric. You can follow that.
Hey, how we doing, Bob?
Good.
Good.
All right, question. All right, if you can name MVP on both sides of the ball, not on defense, not name Revis, and on offense, if you don't name somebody other than Brady, Gronk, and Edelman, who would you name?
Okay.
Okay. I guess I'll go LaFell or... the offensive line. I know a lot of people want that to be the group to get some praise there. Defensively,
Hightower.
Hightower would be a good one. McCourty might get a vote. I think Hightower probably. For given the transition, the leadership, the Mayo loss, all that.
Yep.
Now he's playing really well.
That's a good one.
Hightower
makes sense to me. And maybe if you want to narrow it down, maybe Dan Connolly. Because he had to play center, he had to play guard, he's the captain now, I'm sure.
I might go the other way. This might surprise people.
Brian Stork?
Ryan Wendell. Oh.
I might go Brian Stork.
He just will never say Ryan
Wendell. I think Wendell's having a hell of a year.
I think Wendell's good too, but you threw a rookie center out there, first in Kansas City, and then, he comes back after that, and he's making the calls, they're looking good, he's kind of taking care of business.
Right. I just have to feel that without Connolly or an experienced guy next to him helping him out, he wouldn't be doing so well. I give a little credit to Connolly.
Sure, which is why I think I would give it, if I could, the group. It's hard to really pick out one offensive lineman
like that. It's the nature of the offensive line.
Right.
One last thing. How much money does McCourty get on his contract? What are you thinking his number's going to be?
I would assume he's going to get something in the 40s with something in the 20s in terms of sort of guaranteed money. I think that's the market for a high-caliber safety, and I think that's what he's selling himself as.
Didn't Jerry's Bird get $50 million?
Who?
Bird. Jerry's Bird.
What did he get, 50?
Didn't he get 50 or something along the lines of that?
Yeah, I'm not sure that he's going to have the same reputation as Bird going out.
Oh.
And he might, but I think it goes north of 40. I think it's problematic for the Patriots. I don't think they want to pay him what he's looking for.
All right. Thanks, Eric, for the call. Happy Thanksgiving. Corey from Chicago writes in, Andy, no, you weren't wrong about Browner being bad before, but you have said he may not be better than Dennard and said he is our weak link in the defense and teams would pick on that. You were wrong about that.
He says, for a week.
But that's the part, and we talked about this in the post game, Fred.
Yep. So one game wipes away a month.
When you say something that is true at the time, and someone says to you that that's wrong, and then 4 weeks later something happens that backs up the other guy, that doesn't mean you were wrong then.
But
now it's still a subjective thing.
Right.
So we understand that Andy and I aren't right because we said Browner wasn't playing well. That's our opinion. But our opinion doesn't become wrong because Browner played well against Detroit.
But I think what irritates fans, and this isn't what you said about Browner, but when two guys like Dilfer and Young don't just say, boy, they played awful tonight, here's why they might have problems going forward. But when they say they're not good anymore, they're weak, that's what irritates them. And then you can be wrong.
Well,
because they obviously were still good, and they weren't weak.
Right. That's wrong.
And part of the problem.
But someone playing an individually bad game, one game,
right.
but doesn't become the wrong opinion 4 weeks later when that individual
Patriots
plays well.
Patriots fans are a little raw. They don't like.
But see, this is a totally different situation because it's a newcomer here who we as media and fans hadn't watched on a regular basis. And there was a certain hype with him based on where he'd been, who he played with, what his former teammates were saying about him that I just wasn't seeing. And I'm not just basing it even on the games. I didn't think in the course of the summer and preseason action he looked overly impressive. The guy I saw on Sunday was the guy people billed to me, the guy who is a big, physical, talented coverage corner. That's what I saw on Sunday against one of the best receivers in the game. And if you get that with any consistency, then yes, you have a very good pass defense and you have something going on in the back end there.
Junior from Dorchester, there's been a lot of talk about the improved play of Hightower and how his future might be at middle linebacker, but wasn't he playing outside linebacker the first two games when Paul dubbed him the Patriots' best defensive player? I'm loving his play at middle linebacker, but I also thought he was starting to come into his own on the outside before his injury.
Yep. Me too.
Yeah.
I thought he was good on the outside. I thought
torn about that. I love that he's, you know, able to do that, but I just feel like the potential there for him is on the outside, and it's just too bad.
And that gets back to the expectations. What we were billed, what you took as a first-round player.
We may never see it.
Well, and there's no shame in if Mayo.
It's like McCourty. A little bit different, but McCourty
it's a letdown, but it still
but
is good for your team.
Right, now you have a solid safety, so okay.
And if Mayo's gone, you know, we talked about it yesterday when we were sort of shaving cap room to make room for Revis. If Mayo's gone, if that doesn't work out as a renegotiation, well, then he might just be your middle linebacker.
Right, right. Let's go to Michael in Florida. Hey, Michael.
How you gentlemen doing today?
Tremendous.
Good. I had a question. I don't know if you guys touched on it because I'm in the car, so I can't listen to you live on the internet. But I know y'all were talking about Eddie Lacy yesterday and the kind of running back he is.
Yep.
I was looking up on it yesterday, and apparently yesterday was only his second 100-yard game, and every other time he hadn't even gotten to 70.
Yeah, they don't run the ball.
They don't run it a lot.
The average is almost 4.5 a carry.
Yeah, 4.5, and I will note we'll wait to the injury report. He's also dealing with some sort of weird illness, apparently. That could be something.
Yeah, they don't run the ball very often. When he does run, he's generally successful. He averages almost 4.4.
It's 4.4 a carry.
Yeah, almost 4.5.
And he's
a
load.
He's a power back.
We've seen this team struggle to tackle at times. Chris Ivory was certainly one of them. He catches the ball 30 times over the course of this year so far, so he might. Whenever he has the ball, he's a load to bring down.
Yeah, I mean, whether he gets 100 yards or not, I don't care.
He only has, I want to say, 690 or 680 on the year.
Yeah,
I mean, not.
What I'm concerned about is his ability to keep the Patriots offense on the sideline. I don't care if he runs for 120 yards, but if he's able to move the chains, the last 3 weeks, the other team hasn't been able to get any yards on the ground. Everything has been through the air. And if Eddie Lacy is able to average 4.5 a carry on, say, 15 carries, that helps Green Bay keep the Patriots offense on the sideline. That would be a concern for me. It's not 100 yards, but it would concern me.
All right. Thanks, Mike. He's breaking up.
Oh, you're learning.
What?
Oh, you only did it because he was breaking up?
A little bit.
You weren't going to say thanks, Mike.
I was going to anyway, but then I had that excuse, so I used it. Noel in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Tremendous.
I want to call and wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. For one, I'm in the car, so I won't be able to hear what's going on. But I have a couple of quick questions for you, if that's okay.
Sure.
One is I would like to watch that New Orleans game the other night, and it just baffles me how they try to run it straight up the middle on that fourth down when they get all those weapons. And Josh has a tendency to do that once in a while. Is that something that you hope that we stay away from?
Yeah, that was I was right with you there. I thought that was just Sean Payton being stubborn. I don't think we're like that. I think sometimes we just overthink
it. I agree with Fred.
It.
I don't think that they ever run it on the goal. I think they throw the ball more than anybody inside the five.
Yeah, if anything, they overthink it instead of, let's just run it up the middle, you know?
If anything, they don't give it to Devlin enough.
Well, it's fun living in Denver right now. That's for damn sure. Anyway, I think this score is, I don't know what you've been talking about, but I think this score is going to be like 41-24. And I think the Pats are going to score a lot. because I think they can run the ball on this team.
Yep.
Do you feel that way?
Yep. They can run it. They can throw it. They can score it. As Paul said, if they have a flipping turnover day where it's just loose balls, and did you see my stat I tweeted out last week or this week, whenever it was? Did you know Brady is the only guy that's committed a turnover?
On the Patriots.
Nine turnovers, six interceptions, three fumbles, all from Thomas John Brady III.
Yeah. Well, don't talk about my guy like that.
No, I mean, that's a nice number. That's not a, like, horrific number. It's more impressive that no one else on the team, no running back, no wide receiver, no Gronk, you know, extra yardage, has lost the ball.
Well, I think Gray's going to get some carries this week. Do you guys think so?
Yes.
Gray.
That's what he said.
I thought he said Grady.
Gray.
No, he said Gray.
Don't criticize. As somebody who misspeaks more than anyone, don't criticize our listeners. Okay.
Well, hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Happy Thanksgiving, and let's go, Pat.
Okay, you too, Noel. Thanks. Thank you.
All right, we'll take one more call, then we'll take a break, and we'll come back with more calls and emails. Remember, picks today, too. Jerry in California.
Yeah, good morning. I know you guys are in a hurry to get to your picks and everything. I haven't called in months and months, and I got zillions of comments, but I'm going to short it down to three quick little comments. And the comments are about Tim Wright, Darrell Revis, and San Diego. And that's right. I think we just feel sorry for the guy. He just can't seem to make friends. You know, guys like on Klasky, they go into the end zone. They got all sorts of people around them and patting them on the back, and they're all friendly. And Wright goes there, and he's just all by himself, and there's no friends around. I think Brady helps out a little bit. He throws him a football to play with, but the guy just can't seem to make friends.
Well, it's because Gronk is so popular. Everybody wants to hang around with Gronk in the end zone.
And the second item about Revis, I know you all have said that we're really looking forward here, but if somehow we should win the Super Bowl this year, that Revis would have his prize and he would move on somewhere else. Well, there's another side of that also. It's not like Revis is trying to get money to pay the rent or whatever. He's made a lot of money in his career, and once he wins the first Super Bowl, he might just like the idea of winning another one. So that's another part of it I think you ought to give a little more consideration to.
Sure. The only thing I was saying is the track record is that he goes for the money.
I don't eliminate any possibilities.
Well, you're right that he certainly has been going for the money, but at some point in time, you've got more money than you can spend anyhow.
But they don't look at it that way. The Ty Laws and the elite guys, they measure respect in the bottom line.
And he went here for the most money.
Right.
I mean, that's I think it's a possibility, because I don't eliminate it as a possibility that he would stay here.
Oh, I don't either.
But it would be a departure from his track record.
And I think it only makes sense that it could be an argument that if he wins a Super Bowl, now I can just go wherever. And you also have the problem with him is there's a number already in place, right? What's the bonus? 20?
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah, because he's making 12 already.
It's 20, because that,
so it's 20.
That gets it to the 25 cap
so,
number.
So, like, that's a starting. He has to get 20. You know what I mean? That's a starting point. I'm not taking less than 20. You know, there can be ways to move it around and kind of classify it. So I think it's going to be hard. But, yeah, I mean, every individual can decide, yeah, that's where I want to be, so that's where I'm going to sign, and that's where I'm going to stay.
One more email before the break. Hey, Fred, some of the guys are getting together for a game of Muckle on Saturday night before the reunion. So far, it's me, Richie Campanella, Ronald Robinson, Alonzo Mosley, Benny DiVolo, Eddie Fubar Fabruski, Theodore Underhill, Big Bobby Orgasm, Lavender Octopod, Danny O'Connor, Winston Legthigh, Pol Pot Jones, and Orlando Rothberg Jr. We're meeting up in the alley behind the Holiday Inn off Route 6. Feel free to wear your Patriots jersey or your Broncos jersey or your Jets jersey or your Cowboys jersey or your 49ers jersey or your Redskins jersey or your Steelers jersey. Happy Thanksgiving, you big pussy. All right, let's take a break.
I love that.
We'll be right back.
I was not expecting the last one.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats. maple syrup, or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships. AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years. The first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots. Our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson. Was it a fight or were you being
No, bored? What happens was, we would always have, there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer. which
yep,
you
me too,
which you couldn't call.
So
today.
We played,
and then the other group would play football.
Probably shouldn't say it.
Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, "Oh, you guys are pussies playing that game."
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then
it's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away, and I said to them, "Oh, who's the pussy now?" So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time but thin, came, you know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, "Say that again." I'm like, "Who's the pussy now?" And he punched me in the jaw, you know. And I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously,
boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
him. So he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you, just because he said it twice doesn't mean he was okay.
And I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have. I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something, and he did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Yeah, okay. We can stop the music now. Travis writes in, "I saw you guys are scheduled to have a show tomorrow on Thanksgiving. Is this true? I mean, I love listening to you guys, but y'all should be home with your families. I think everyone would understand if there was no show." No, there is no radio show tomorrow.
No, we won't be here.
No, that must be just something that's carried over.
Maybe there's a replay. I don't know.
Yeah, but we're not going to be – radio show won't be on, but the TV show will be tomorrow night at 7:30.
And just a little secret, that TV show is not not live.
Right, right. That's already in the can, as they say. And Andy and I had a little debate about pumpkin pie. My contention is it's not my favorite pie, but it's not bad. Andy's against it. He doesn't like pumpkin.
Like, how do you become against a food?
Well, I can see.
Like, you don't like it, fine.
Yeah.
I don't like it, yeah. But, you know, I'm not against it. I'm not anti-pumpkin pie. Just because I don't like it doesn't mean you can't.
The troll from Louisville, Kentucky says, "Pumpkin pie is more overrated than Peyton Manning. You've tasted one pumpkin pie. You've tasted them all. You've seen one Manning postseason. You've seen them all. Pumpkin pie doesn't really suck. It's just so blah and irrelevant to the taste buds. My wife is voluntarily making me a chocolate cream pie this Thanksgiving, so I don't have to taste that smushy crap from a baboon's butt." Wow. Yes, yeah, a lot of people really are anti-pumpkin pie. And Andy feels like it's forced down your throat on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, I don't feel like that at all.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm an apple pie guy. I had a slice of apple pie last night, as a matter of fact. I put it in the microwave for 30 seconds, comes out nice and warm. Nothing better.
My father, it's famous in my house. He always goes, he'll go out and get a couple of pies every year, and inevitably one of them will be something odd that no one really likes or wants, and he gets killed for it. My brother in particular will kill him for it. I don't know if necessarily it's pumpkin pie, but just absolutely. And he always picks something. Like, you'll get an apple pie that everybody likes,
right?
And then he'll get something that... Yeah. He'll have one slice, and that'll be it. Yeah. No one else will eat it.
your brother probably gives him the business for knocking him out in the shower 30 years ago.
Well, that's probably what it stems from.
Yeah.
Andy loves pecan pie.
Pecan pie?
Too sweet for me.
I'm not a big pie fan.
You're not a pie fan?
In general.
No? Cake? You like the cake?
I like cake.
Yeah. I'm with Fred. I like apple pie.
Pie better than cake.
Little vanilla ice cream on the top, Fred, after you warm it up.
I got a cheesecake.
Blueberry, love blueberry pie.
I got a cheesecake to bring to my mother and father's.
Cheesecake's good?
On Thursday. Oreo something.
Oh, mint Oreo?
No, not mint.
Okay.
I don't really like mint.
Yeah. Andy's favorite pie is lemon meringue. I like a good lemon
meringue's
pie.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. But I'm not a huge, not a huge pie person.
Chris from Hamilton, Ontario writes in at webradio@patriots.com. "I understand it would be required some significant upgrades to your space, but as a huge fan of your work, I need more. Phenomenal, Fred. I believe your crew of the Starship PFW Awesome Sauce needs to be on simulcast TV and radio." Okay. Anyway, Blunt would be the first second down back. Gray, the backup, should Blunt get gassed. And Vereen, the third down plucky duck. Super Bowl or bust at this point. And by the way, if we are missing the tasty mayo in the defense, we are kicking butt and pasting. Okay, a little little non sequitur email from Kristen in Hamilton, Ontario. Andy and I think, I don't know if you were here, but we think that Blunt will be the first back and Gray will be the subordinate back.
I do too, yeah. And I'm not sure how much action you're going to see from Gray, but don't you get the impression that Bill sort of likes to lean on the guy he know, like,
oh,
know,
yeah,
the proven
sure
commodity a little bit more?
Yeah.
And I think that's why he went out and got Blunt.
Sure. Let's see. Eric writes in. He's from Houston. I want to give you guys a happy Thanksgiving and tell you that I'm thankful for the awesome podcast that you put out every week. Being that I live in Houston, I rely on the great men of PFW for all my info on the Patriots and regard your opinions highly. So my question for Paul is if he can tweet out the link to his sunshine.com segment of the Felger Show afterwards. I know Greg Bedard does it when he's done with his Tuesday segment, but I don't care about his opinion, and I don't like missing out on Paul's weekly appearance. Boy, little...
Jeez, you're all right, yeah, over there?
I also download Andy's Monday and Friday interviews on the Big Jab, because I can never get too much of the A-team. Thanks for all you your hard work, and hope you all have a great Thanksgiving. You could do that.
I don't have the link.
Sure you do. You just go to their website and get it.
Okay. Do they have that?
Yeah, they break it up into segments. You just take the...
I can tell you it's every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. here.
Right. But you should tweet it out from your account.
Okay, I will look into that.
Yeah, you should. Like Andy, somebody wanted Andy's stuff that he's doing on EEI as well. So if you guys want to tweet that out, that's fine. You know?
Yeah, I wasn't aware. I didn't know that I could just get the link. I figured that was something they had to do.
Sure. Let's see. Kashif writes in from Jamaica. Happy Thanksgiving. And keep repping is one of the true voices for the Patriots. Loving the work you guys do. I know Aaron Rodgers is going to be a huge monster to deal with throughout the game, but how long do you think our defense can contain him or even at all? Also, aren't you guys a bit worried that our offense has a tendency to ease off the gas pedal in the second half of games? Or worst instance of this, our worst instance of this was in a game, in game one at Miami. Now, in Miami, they ran out of gas. They had their foot in the on the floor, but there was no gas left. That was Miami, but that was ages ago. Who cares? But as far as containing Rodgers, Rodgers is going to get his yards. He's going to get his yards.
Yeah, I think that the only way that you're going to really keep him down is turnovers. You know, if they, you know, if they have a ball go off someone's hands and deflect it and it gets picked off or whatever, I can't see them being under 21, you know, otherwise. And listen, the Patriots offense could get a lead and dictate the game the way that's the way the Patriots have been playing. But that's the way Green Bay likes to play, too, especially at home. They like to get the lead and dictate the way the game's been played. It's going to be an interesting matchup.
Peter writes in. He says, listening to Gresh yesterday talk about how Alan Branch dominated the Lions center got me thinking that the Patriots' new D-line coach, previously the D-line coach of the Vikings, has provided valuable intel on NFC North O-lines. This can help neutralize Lacy and make the Packers' offense more one-dimensional. What are your thoughts?
Trying to make the Packers one-dimensional?
Well, because of the intel that our D-line coach gives us on the NFC North.
Oh, Brendan Daly. It can't hurt. You know, you have a guy that's familiar with that division, and we happen to play that division this year in the rotation. Yeah, it can't hurt. I don't know if it's a major factor.
Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalata, especially the day before Thanksgiving, she says, to my knowledge, Rodgers in the Green Bay offense hasn't met a secondary like the Patriots. It'll be curious to see if the long bombs to Nelson will work or if they'll manage to keep it in front of them. Also, please expand on Green Bay's defense strengths and weaknesses. What will be our strengths and weaknesses over them? Thanks and happy Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble.
I don't think Green Bay defensively has anything near where the Patriots have. I think they've been susceptible to the run. I don't think that they have as deep a secondary. I think those things can be exploited. They're not terrible. It's not a terrible defense, I don't think. It's not like it was, say, 3 years ago. They had a really bad defense 2 or 3 years ago. But I don't think that they've seen very many offenses that have been rolling like the Patriots have. And I think if the Patriots just protect the football, they're going to be able to move the ball and score points. On the other side, I think Green Bay is pretty good offensively. I think they generally move the ball pretty well. the one area to exploit. I think their offensive line is a little shaky. I think there's some similarities. The two teams probably offensively have one potential area of weakness, and that would be the offensive line. I think those are the areas you can exploit. Maybe you get some pressure on Rodgers, but he runs around and moves around so well. Even that might not be the best way to go about it.
A couple other NFL notes. I just was watching the TV here. Washington has announced that Cousins will quarterback.
No, Colt McCoy.
Oh, Colt McCoy, okay. Colt McCoy.
Cousins turned in the most horrific quarterbacking performance of the season for anybody.
But Colt McCoy will start for the Redskins. And then at the Jets, I read from Manish Mehta that Itzik, the general manager, it's so bad between him and Rex Ryan that he wouldn't let Ryan talk about his father, Buddy Ryan, who's got cancer and he was going to go visit him and all this stuff. He didn't want him talking about it.
Yeah. The more I read about that whole situation, this is going to end up being a very, very good thing for the Patriots. I think that Itzik is the bigger part of the problem, and he's probably going to end up staying.
Right.
And Rex is going.
Right.
And I think you might say that they both stink, but Rex is better than Itzik. Rex is a better coach than Itzik is a GM.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to get rid of the more talented of the two personnel people.
I think the Jets should move to L.A.
Why not?
Yeah. Concede.
Would you still hate them if they moved to L.A.?
No.
I would.
Not as much.
No, I would.
Not, if they're out of our division?
Yeah,
I wouldn't care.
I would. You don't hate teams out of the division? Please, stop it.
Well,
You're embarrassing yourself.
No, I do, but you don't play them twice, the whole thing.
Yeah, well, I don't hate them because we play them twice.
Well, part of why I hate them is I hate their fans, too.
Yeah, I mean, I hate them because they're New York, but that's not just going to disappear if they move. Like, I'm still going to think of them as the New York Jets.
Yeah, but
I hate all the New York teams.
Right, exactly. Now they're not a New York team.
Yeah, but I'm still going to hate them, at least for a while.
For a while, yeah. Jeff is from Moncton, New Brunswick. He says, I was at the game Sunday in Section 327, and I noticed across from me at the top of the stadium there were two small cubes that had people sitting in them. Just curious who sits in those two cubes. Those are coaches.
No, very top is the video thing, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Coaches,
that's a video
there.
Nest. No, it's not.
No, not in the end zone. In the on the 50-yard line on either side. Those are coaches' boxes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Little gray boxes. Those are coaches for each team. It's true.
I'm not denying you. Yeah, obviously, I have information that I don't know what you're talking about.
If he's talking about the ones on top of the 50, yes. On the end zones, those are just video guys. But the ones on top of the 50-yard line, Kevin, I know it is true. Because I remember when they were built, I was like, they're not going to like sitting up there. And they don't. Because they used to sit in the club level. And now they're way up on top of the stadium. So
you're talking about something I don't really have any knowledge of. I thought you were talking about something else.
No.
Because I know there's a video nest up there.
Right.
One of those. That's what I thought you were talking about.
These are those little boxes on the 50-yard line on east and west side of the stadium. Got anything to add on that, Kevin?
Not publicly.
Why?
I'm not going to name names of who's up there.
Oh, no, but they're coaches.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
In football operations staff.
Right. Let's see. Kyle says, this is why this show is a great debate. Why it's great, a debate on pie during the week of a possible Super Bowl preview. Please never change. Paul, you've tapped out. You're off the show now.
No, I'm
not really not paying attention.
I'm checking to see if there's any information that we need to be passing along.
Oh, where's Eric?
I assume he went out to practice. But,
oh, practice. Okay.
You know, right. And I want to see.
I'll let him. Yeah, they hit the road early, beat the snow.
Are they in or out today?
I haven't seen them.
We don't know if they're indoor or outdoor today for practice.
I would assume they're out because it's really messy out.
Yeah, it would be a good day to practice outside when you're going to Lambeau Field, right?
I guess it depends on the weather report.
Well, I mean, how nice could it be?
I don't know. Let's see. Nick writes in, started to read this week's Ask PFW and stopped on the first email. It asks, why are we not seeing Dobson? I've heard Paul say about 100 times they are scoring 40-plus points, so why does it matter? In the reply, Andy says Tim's earned himself the spot and is apparently a true deep threat. But after watching Tom continually throw terrible deep shots down the field, I can't help but finally agree with the calls to get Dobson back on the field and Tim's off.
Did you ever think you know, without really having the knowledge, because we don't get to watch, that Timms has played better than Dobson in practice? Or do you think that Bill is just being stubborn and
right.
he wants to use right. an undrafted Jag over a guy he took in the second round last year?
Right.
And I'm not suggesting that you should blindly accept Bill. God knows that I would be the last person to just sit there and say, I trust Bill. Whatever Bill does, in Bill, I trust. I don't ever do that. But I'm just looking at it, trying to look at it as objectively as I can, and I'm wondering. And I was trumpeting the Dobson thing all year long. The year two jump for Dobson was something that I was very high on. It just hasn't happened. And at this point, I can't imagine that Bill is saying, well, Dobson's a lot better than Brian Timms, but I'm going to sit him out anyway. I just can't imagine that that's a possibility. I can't think that Tom Brady is thinking he has any relationship rapport whatsoever with Aaron Dobson, and he's on the bench.
By the way, Fred, Sunday doesn't look like any precipitation in Green Bay, with relatively calm wind and a high of 36 and a low of 12.
Ooh.
So it'll be chilly, but otherwise pretty good conditions to play in.
Okay. Tristan from L.A., please never suggest that the Jets move to L.A. The last thing we need in L.A. is more loud a-holes. I'd rather take the loud and dangerous fans from Oakland than Jets fans. I hope nobody was listening to that part of the show. That doesn't mean the fans are going to move to L.A. It's
right.
just the team. So if, yeah. if you think L.A. fans are loud a-holes, they're going to still be loud a-holes.
I was a big Boston Braves fan growing up, and I moved to yeah. Milwaukee with them.
Right.
Just before anybody like wants to make a sarcastic, I was not alive when the Boston Braves were in Boston.
You weren't like the
no.
the knothole gang?
No.
Going back to the 40s, Paul.
No. That was a good 20 years before I was born.
All right, says Jeff in FLA writes in.
Jeff in FLA?
There's at least 100 times Andy has said Browner stinks, and now he says Browner is good.
No, he said Browner was good on Sunday.
A sports analyst that can only say whether a light is on or off is about as useful as a weather rock.
I don't really understand. This is I don't get this phenomenon. I don't get what's so hard to understand.
Browner just needed some time to get up to speed and find his role in this Patriots
Maybe
defense.
You're right.
Anyone that took the time to see him play in Seattle knew he was a capable performer.
Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe he needed time to get up to speed. But now at least we're all agreeing that he wasn't up to speed at the beginning.
There are still days he may have had a bad day, but that doesn't mean he stinks. Nor when Gronk drops a couple of balls should fans or analysts suddenly say he sucks. Anyway, I also wanted to help the Patriots' defensive backs get a better nickname than the hybrids. They are a talented group.
Who calls them the hybrids?
That Patricia and Belichick use in versatile ways. I submit they be called the X-Men.
Who calls them the hybrids?
Somebody
Is someone
said
doing
that,
that?
Yeah, somebody said that one of them.
I agree with the emailer. That's lame.
Yeah, somebody said one of them referred to them themselves
that's
as,
really
as the hybrids. Yeah, I don't like that either. Reminds me.
I mean, you got like the Legion of Boom, and the best we could come up with is the hybrids.
Hybrids, like they're a bunch of Priuses. Yeah.
Well,
I don't.
You know, like, yeah. It
yeah,
like
we
got
to. We do have to think. Even if they haven't used that, we have to think of a better name for the defense.
I agree with the emailer on that one.
Yeah, I remember the year they came up with the Iron Crush for Denver.
Now, I'm sure that you were instrumental in that.
Yes, I did. I wrote
it.
You
probably came up with it, said it to somebody, and then someone else patented it.
They did.
Right. They
Along
stole
with
it.
Soap with a slot.
Right. They stole it.
Yeah. Well, what would be a good nickname for this defense? Assuming that they keep playing the way they are playing, of course.
I don't know.
You don't know? You don't know? No interest?
I mean,
you've tapped out.
You got to give it some thought.
You've What are you thinking about Thanksgiving, Paul? Stomach rumbling? Mad
There's
that
a big
they gave
basketball
us turkey
game coming up at 2 o'clock, Fred.
You got a banquet tonight?
Big basketball game.
That's a crusher that they changed the time of that. Now I can't see it.
Need your help on that, by the way.
Why do you need my help?
I'm going to ask you later.
It's not on Westwood One Radio. You can't listen to it on the
It's an Everett question.
I got a. What's the Everett question that you can't ask?
Oh, Everett Zavarian coming up for the Division One title.
Correct.
You going to be at the game?
It's not about Everett.
Not. Why not?
Just a question that would be asked.
I don't really have
Everett.
All that much interest.
Oh, baloney!
I don't.
You love Everett.
I want Everett to win, but I don't really care to go to it.
All right.
Sorry.
Let's go to the phones. A couple more people calling in. Balarco's in Los Angeles. Hey, Balarco, you want the Jets to move to L.A.?
No, no, screw them.
Okay.
I don't care about these Jets, man. And a quick shout-out to PFW Elite. And I know this is Packers hate week, so I'm going to bring all the hate. I hate these cheeseheads, man. I don't get it. Okay, you make cheese, you put them on your head. Like, it's not funny anymore. It's insulting to human intelligence.
They should put real cheese on their head. See how they like that.
Evidently,
and,
they did go
also,
inside,
like,
by the way.
I just feel like, okay, Packers had like a couple of good games. They put 50 points on the Bears and the Eagles, but we beat like four division leaders by 20 points. So it's a little odd when I look at the news and they're like comparing these two teams as being equal. They're not. They're not. Yeah, they are playing at Lambeau, which gives them an advantage. But saying that they're equal at this stage is just, it's just a bit too much, in my opinion. And I just feel like if the Packers have to go on road during the playoffs, they're going to lose because they're not the same team.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I also think that Vince Lombardi is a little bit overrated. Goodbye.
I agree with that, Balarko. Let's go.
You know who else agrees with that?
He just throws that bomb and hangs up.
You know,
I like that.
You know who I've never specifically asked him about this, but just judging off of some comments, is I think Bill Belichick thinks that Vince Lombardi was just sort of a coach that had a very specific system that required a ton of discipline, and he was good at it.
And some good quotes that were based off other people's quotes.
I don't think that he feels like Vince Lombardi was on the level of a Paul Brown.
Yeah, I agree. And we don't know that. He's never said
he's
that.
He's never said it, and he won't.
Yeah, it's just kind of the way he talks about.
And I think that it stems from innovation and game plan oriented, like ability to change. Vince Lombardi ran the same thing over and over again.
Yep.
And Paul Brown did not only innovated a ton of different things that he used today, but he was a game like Bill. He might do one thing one week and something totally right. different the next. Vince Lombardi didn't do that.
Yeah, I agree with
Doesn't
that.
Mean that Vince Lombardi wasn't a great coach. He inherited a mess in Green Bay. They were terrible, and he immediately made them great.
Yeah, I think Lombardi, you know, and I'm just judging this from what people have said, he was a great motivator, ran a good program, you know, from top, like really was in control.
Right.
And you know, that's part of the battle when for these head coaches is you got to be in control.
Do you think that Green Bay doesn't belong? What do you think of Green Bay?
What do you mean doesn't belong
like,
where?
You know, I think it was a Blocko I was just talking, saying, yeah. You know, they're not as good as the Patriots. They're not, you know, people saying.
Well, we'll see on Sunday. Right now
no,
they are.
But I'm asking you what you think. I mean, obviously I can look at the scoreboard after the fact.
I think they're up there with the Patriots, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I think they do.
Well,
I'm not sure they're that good. I think they're pretty good offensively. I think they're on par with the Patriots offensively. I don't think they are defensively.
I think there's two factors that are the what's this game's going to come down to. Home field and the Patriots defense. Those are the two things that this game will come down to.
I think it's going to be Green Bay's defense. If Green Bay wants to win, their defense needs to play much better than it has.
Yeah.
Because they can't allow 40 points and win the game.
Okay. Chris in Miami writes is calling in. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, Chris.
No, they don't. Patriots and Packers, they don't belong in the same census, period.
I think that's a little strong.
If we start scoring on them, so you're telling me their offense is going to keep us scoring on us, on our defense? No, it's not. We have a better special teams. We have a better everything over them.
We think. We'll see. You know, if someone held a gun to my head, I'd agree with you, but this is all to be determined.
I think
Sunday.
The Patriots are a better team, but I don't think that Green Bay doesn't belong on the field with them, and that's the way people are talking about it.
Everybody wants to hype up this game, and it's not, all right?
Okay.
Packers play Denver, I assure you that Denver will beat the Packers.
What happened when the Patriots played at Miami?
But that was the beginning of the season.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I understand that.
Or what about the Patriots play the Dolphins right now?
I know. I guess the Dolphins wouldn't belong in the same field. I think they should cancel the rest of the season.
Oh, come on.
But no, that's what people are saying, Fred, that these teams that are supposedly good don't belong on the field with them. So why are we bothering playing the games?
Well, that's their opinion.
Maybe Big Al is right. They should just rest everybody and wait for the playoffs. Make sure no one gets hurt.
Yeah, I think Green Bay's pretty good.
I think the Patriots are better, and I think the Patriots are going to win the game. I'm on record as saying that already. But that doesn't mean I don't think Green Bay can win the game. I don't think to look at the scenarios that Green Bay could win, I don't think it's very difficult.
Right.
I think Green Bay belongs in the field, and I think Green Bay has a chance. If Green Bay plays a good game, this is going to be a game that probably goes down to the last possession. Now, if they play poorly, the Patriots will continue to roll the way they have because you can't make mistakes against the Patriots the way New England is playing right now offensively. If you make any mistakes, they're going to get the lead, and it's going to get rolling like it has been for the last several games.
All right, Chris, thanks for the call. Eric's here, but he has to plug in. He was he's going to plug in, and he's going to tell us everything that happened inside today.
Thank you.
Yeah, walk through too.
I can't tell you everything because we weren't allowed to be there for everything.
Oh.
But the main news that we got out of the semi-attendance taking was that Chandler Jones made an appearance for the first time. As a walkthrough, so don't get too excited. But he was there, and we haven't seen him in any previous walkthroughs or padded practices or even in the locker room. So
That
was newsworthy in and of itself.
Nice.
And you probably already know we're in the bubble today because of, I believe, the fact that it is a walkthrough one and two.
Was
the weather
Danny
is inclement.
Aiken out there?
Yes, he was. But so was Charlie Hewlett, as you like to call him.
All right. Okay.
A third cup of coffee with this team and second time on the practice squad for that guy.
Mm. Anything else?
Like I said, we were there for barely 10 minutes, couldn't finish taking attendance. Cameron Fleming, who was big against the Colts in the tackle-eligible role, injured his left ankle at the end of that game, wasn't available last week. He was also at the walkthrough, had one of those black medical sleeves on his
ankle.
Lower leg.
Okay.
And he'd been in a boot. He'd been in a medical boot before that. So the fact that he was not in the boot and taking in practice, he was out in a boot, as they say.
Yeah.
That was really that's really all the noteworthy things we could get in the few minutes we were allowed to watch them come in.
Sounds good. Media mood, very happy because they got their turkey roll-ups.
People are just kind of anxious to get the holiday going. You know, I think some people are. One of our colleagues came up to me and was just like shaking his head, going and I was like, "What's the matter?" And he's like, "I'm just hitting the wall." You know, it's that time of the season where people need a little bit of a break, but they're going to get one tomorrow, which is
another
nice.
Two plus months to go.
Probably, the way things are going, yeah.
Hey, Kevin. Barb outside of Boston wants to know if you were in the Pro Shop commercial on TV.
I don't think so.
Okay, she wants to know because she thinks she saw you in the Patriots Pro Shop TV commercial.
I don't think I was, at least not without my consent or whatever.
Well, if Fox Sports produced it, it would definitely be you.
Nice, Fred. Nice. That's a great shot.
I didn't get that. What happened?
Well, they use my voice in their Brady Moss sit down without permission.
You didn't know this?
And
no.
Out of context.
What happened?
They used me and Fred.
Doing what?
Well, when Brady sat down with Moss on TV, they were talking about how, you know, people were doubting them at the beginning of the season, and they had my audio fire Belichick, trade Brady.
And it this show?
Yeah, from this show.
You know how Fred gets on like the Tuesdays and everybody's being ridiculous and overreacting and
did they take you out of context?
Yes.
Of course.
And Fred was like, you know, and it's get rid of Brady, fire Belichick, get rid of Brady. And John Dennis had actually made a comment saying how everything was going bad and, you know, everybody was under fire. And he goes, pretty soon, he goes, watch, by 7 o'clock, someone's going to say Garoppolo's got to replace Brady. And all they put in was Garoppolo's got to replace Brady.
Oh.
Yeah. Right.
Selective editing.
Yeah. But
I was the only one that
they
didn't
find stuff in context.
I was the only one they didn't have to do anything to.
If it was that big a deal, you would think it would be easy to find people saying
Paul,
it all over the
Paul,
place.
Paul, the conspiracy guy, thinks that someone set me up, that they're trying to make me look bad from inside, internally.
Just so you know, I know you're kind of being sarcastic. I still think that.
You think someone in the organization gave them that audio?
Yeah.
I just don't think that as much as I love this show and I love our listeners and callers and everybody, and I think we've carved out a pretty good niche, I don't think Fox Sports knows of PFW in progress. I think someone had to direct them there and told them, oh, those guys are as negative as anybody. You should just get it from our own, even have more teeth in it,
right,
coming from the team's own produced show.
Right.
That's what I think happened.
And it's not outside
it's not out of the
realm of possibility.
No,
right?
It's not.
Right?
Not far-fetched.
Right, but you know,
little did they know that it was a feather in our cap.
Right,
because everybody knows that it was taken out of context.
Right, I mean, we got all kinds of tweets and emails after. So, did you know that they used that? And
well, especially from I don't mean this to be disrespectful. Especially
say it.
Especially from you.
Yeah.
What type
everybody
of video
knows
did they use on?
You'd be the very last person to say something like that. in a meaningful way.
Right. What was the video on the
It was just stills, voiceover. I think stills of the Kansas City game, maybe, or something like that.
Now, if they had done any research, they could have gotten Eric and I arguing with you about Brady's decline. That would have been legit. Right? That would have been legit.
So, I just don't understand why they would.
I think all I said was, Brady was part of the problem. I think.
Right.
I think it was probably taken from them, and I said Brady is part of the problem. Which, by the way, that's much like the Browner thing.
Right.
The last seven games don't eliminate the fact that Brady was part of the problem in September.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, just because they've won seven in a row and are playing great doesn't mean they weren't playing great at the beginning of the season.
And I never said, and again, this is to your point, Fred, when you talked about Dilfer and Young saying they're just not very good anymore.
Right.
We didn't say that.
Right.
Even, Eric, who's been probably stronger on the Brady decline thing, never said that Brady's incapable of playing at a high level anymore.
No, I said he's one of the best in the game still.
Right. Yep. So it's not like, oh, what do you say now? No, I say that now he's playing well. That's what I say. I never said that he was not capable of playing well. What I have been surprised by, and probably if I'm wrong about something I said in September, I didn't feel Brady had the ability anymore, the physical ability, to lift all ships. And I've seen that over the last 7 weeks. He's done just that.
Yes.
He's made others better. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think that he could do that consistently anymore. Not for a game or two, sure. But, now he's all of a sudden got Brandon LaFell looking like a really valuable piece. He's got Tim Wright, as a red zone guy, even though, with four, like, 2-yard touchdown passes.
He's contributing.
I've seen guys be able to go out and make some plays that they were not making before that. And I absolutely think Brady is making that offensive line look much better than it is with his ability to suddenly move around and get rid of the ball quickly. So those are the things that I would say that if I was wrong about anything, I thought Brady's days of carrying everything were over. And I couldn't have been more wrong because it's been great.
Along those lines, Tony writes in, the media makes blanket statements based on the very last thing they see. In this day of social media, everyone feels they have to be first or have to make a pronouncement. Anyone who's followed the Patriots knows 2-2 in September is no cause for alarm as Belichick's teams play their best in November and beyond. And in fact, September football rarely resembles late season football. Here, instead, the media overreacted and incorrectly analyzed and almost as bad refuses to admit they're wrong. Felger, Maz, John Dennis, and Minahan. So he's just naming names.
I think your problem with the blanket or the snapshot judgment is not really snapshot. It's what they said. That's what your problem is, what they said. Because right now, can you find anybody who doesn't think the Patriots are a Super Bowl favorite?
No, but I think at the time when they were 2-2, I think even the homers were saying they're not playing well.
Right.
That's okay.
But that was based on a month.
Right.
So now, based on a month and a half, everybody says this is the Super Bowl favorite.
But like
I'm saying it, I agree with it.
It's one thing to say they're not playing well. It's another thing to say they never will again.
No, but listen, you can put your Steve Young and Dilfer thing aside.
But that was
the people around here
pissed people off.
But Fred, he just mentioned Mike Felger and Tony Maz and John Dennis. Mike Felger has steadfastly said that this is a wagon that's going to the Super Bowl. Even though
I don't trust him.
Even though in September he was saying that they weren't playing well.
I know.
So my point is, it wasn't the snapshot judgment you had a problem with. It was what he was saying you had a problem with.
Well, sure. The
now homers, you can make a snapshot judgment and say this is the best team in the AFC. This is a Super Bowl favorite.
Right.
No problem with
but
that snapshot.
That's the same thing. You're right. It's
no
the
problem.
Same, it's the same thing.
And by the way, I agree with it.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're paid to do,
right,
is analyze what we're seeing.
It's more fun when people have those types of proclamations. It really is.
But I think the proclamation in this, that would be my proclamation. And I did not hear a lot of people saying in September, this team is done. I didn't hear a lot. And now if you did.
I did.
You heard a lot of people saying this team is done.
A portion, yeah.
I heard some people saying
that.
I didn't hear anybody saying that. I didn't hear a lot of people saying it.
Yeah, I did. Henry in Arizona, I don't understand these callers.
Besides Dilfer and Young, you can't come up with any of them, but that's okay.
Oh, well, the radio people, the people that hate Belichick, they were gleeful. I don't understand.
I don't disagree with that, but I don't think people were saying they were done.
I don't understand these callers that say they can't listen to the show in the car. Download the Patriots app from the App Store and plug the phone into the car. It's the best app ever because you can listen to all the interviews, pressers, and radio shows. Keep up the great work and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Freddie, sorry, just
and,
I don't know.
Just, I just want to finish up. Okay. You do have to have, obviously, a cell plan. And it will, if depending on what your cell plan is, it could cost you a little money because you're going to be using your data plan to be listening to us. But, yes, you can, as long as you have cell coverage, you can plug our app into your car and listen to us live while you're driving around. Go ahead, Aaron.
I don't know if you guys saw this or if this came down during the show, but they made some practice squad transactions in addition to Charlie Hewlett, as you like to call him. They've signed a tight end, Xavier Grimble, along with Hewlett, to the practice squad, and they released, minor surprise here, Deontay Skinner, the rookie linebacker, and Daxton Swanson, the defensive back. And I say surprising with Skinner because this is a guy who actually started at least one, maybe two games for this team earlier this year.
The practice squad has now lost Jagarrett Davis and Deontay Skinner in recent weeks, and those are two guys that spent time on the active roster. There were guys on the practice squad that have not been on the active roster. So I would think that means that they're pretty happy with Akeem Ayers and Jonathan Casillas.
Who played a lot more this past
week. And don't feel like they'll need to dip into the practice squad. And probably if they get injuries or something like that,
they can always.
They're probably pretty comfortable with the fact that they could bring those guys back.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chester in Portland's hanging on. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing today?
We're doing great. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, guys. I appreciate all you do. Man, all I got to say, guys, this is going to be a big showdown. It's time to show America who's top dog in this league. Key to this one, fast, furious intensity. We've got to fight fire with fire, take that crowd out early. Got to be maintaining possession and keep them chains moving. I mean, if we don't do that, it's going to be a slippery slope. I'm going to put out one guarantee on behalf of our boys. Aaron Rodgers is going to throw his first ticket home this week. Guaranteed. And for me, we're simply going to win because we got better coaching. I take Belichick over McCarthy any day. I will see this defense continue in that offensive line. But I'm saying big win, 41-27 pass. And you guys take it easy. Enjoy your turkey. Over and out.
All right. Thanks, Chester. Let's go to, let's get back to the email. Brandon writes in, on Revis, say Rex gets fired this year. Isn't it a possibility that if he went somewhere like Green Bay, that Revis would follow him and get his money? I never thought it was about the Jets, but about Rex.
Well, it depends if the team has the money to give him that he wants.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get it
here. But
he'd have to come there as a defensive coordinator.
It was definitely about Rex. Yeah, the only thing is Green Bay has Dom Capers.
Right.
And I don't know if they would necessarily get rid of him to bring in Rex, but that's and I know that you're probably just using Green Bay as an example. It doesn't have to be Green Bay. But, yes, I do think there would be a possibility that if Rex Ryan were a defensive coordinator in this league, that would be on a short list of teams that Darrelle Revis would be interested in. Because he wanted to go back, and Rex wanted him back, and Idzik said no.
All right. Let's see. Rupesh writes in. Love your show, but listen.
RuPaul.
What's that?
Not RuPaul.
Not RuPaul. Rupesh. I think it's the plural of RuPaul. Anyway.
Rup.
Love your show. Been listening to for a long time. I can see the Patriots bulldozing the Packers. Given that the Packers defense doesn't rate much, I say early on in the game, Brady is going to carve that Packers defense like Thanksgiving turkey and will score, lead, and defend the lead. Our running backs, the three-headed dragon, as I like to call them, Gray, Blunt, and Vereen, are going to ground and pound and keep Rodgers off the field and eat the clock after a hefty lead. Once we start leading, Rodgers will have to throw and will get intercepted at least once, if not twice. Nelson will be defended by Revis and will most likely post an insignificant stat in garbage time. Gronk is going to do the Lambeau leap after he catches a TD, and the Cheeseheads will go wild about it. Final score, Patriots 38, Packers 21. Okay.
Packer fans are going to go crazy when Gronk does a Lambeau leap?
Probably negatively, though. That's poor sportsmanship. I wouldn't do that if I was Gronk. That's taking your life into your hands, right?
Well, unless there are Patriots fans in the front
row. Unless he finds a pack of Patriots
I certainly
fans.
Wouldn't do it.
Patriots fans?
Would you say that doing the Lambeau leap in Lambeau is the same as Terrell Owens standing on the Dallas Star?
I think that Owens was worse, but I know what you're saying, and yes. I don't think it's a thing I would do.
No, I wouldn't either. You let them have their thing.
Yeah, I think it's more dangerous to do the Lambeau leap than to do what Terrell Owens did.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, you got fans who could potentially do some harm to you bodily.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that as much. I just think it would be a little bit disrespectful.
Either both are
Green Bay's not one of those teams that you want to put it in their face. They, yeah. they you know, right?
Yeah, no. I wouldn't put it. That's their thing. And
yeah.
Now, I think what Terrell Owens,
they have is the Packers,
what Terrell Owens
people.
Did to Dallas was worse than yeah. if someone were to do a Lambeau leap. And I'm sure that people have done that on the road in Lambeau. I just don't think it's something that they should do. Not a huge deal if they do. I mean, it's not like sit here and say, wow, that was
not like
know,
pretending,
something,
not like
we're going
to
talk about for
to
2 weeks.
The crowd.
Like, I know Vrabel made fun of the Eagles with
I
their flapping wings.
Funny.
You know, Vrabel did that.
Yeah,
thing
that was completely taking a shot at the Eagles.
Right.
Because they were mad.
Right.
You know, and if there's something about Green Bay that they're mad about, you know, right. of course, we'll find out about it after they win the game by 30 points, then, you know, maybe the. You could sit there and say, well, that's why. And they'll get the message out there.
Right.
Their Bobos will get the message out there for them.
Pat and Agawam, just a quick question for you, Fred. Are you mentally prepared to lose Sunday? Of all of our remaining opponents, this is the one game I'd be mentally prepared to lose. By the way, I know I don't get followed by you guys on the Twitterverse, but I followed in my late father's footsteps in the Marine Corps. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks, Pat, and thanks for your service. Am I mentally prepared to lose? I am, but I'm not mentally prepared to play bad, to have a bad performance. So, like, if, you know, both teams just, you know, lay it out there and the Patriots come up short, okay, I can accept that. But if they throw up a stinker, then I got problems.
I find it hard to believe they'll pull a Kansas City.
Yeah. That would be real. That I'm not prepared for. That would put me in a funk on Tuesday or Monday. But
it's
yeah,
funny, if they play well, I don't see them losing.
Yeah, well,
I just don't see them losing. I think the only way they could lose is if they play uncharacteristically sloppy. Yeah. I think they're just flat out better.
It's so
than
funny,
Green Bay.
But you've come 180, Paul, because that's exactly what you said about Denver at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
The only way you could see the Patriots beating them.
I'll repeat my Ray Lewis line from yesterday. Only a fool until he opened he or she mouth. You know, I have to change based on what I'm seeing.
Right. Right.
And that's what I'm doing. It's not like I'm trying to cover all my bases. I've changed my opinion based on the beatdown of Denver, the beatdown of Indianapolis, and now heading into Green Bay, I think they're better.
Let's see. Chad writes in, yo, PFW crew, Patriots 38, Cheese Packers 24, but there's no reason why our secondary doesn't shut down the I want my stats Aaron Rodgers offense.
I want my stats?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the priority is to close out on the AFC rivals. So, going by Al's formula, this game doesn't matter.
This game doesn't matter. I don't even think Brady's making the trip.
Yeah, maybe not. All right, we got to do picks. Did Andy give you his?
He did not.
No.
Do you forget when we talk about these things?
We got to make sure he does before, you know,
before tomorrow.
Right. So, although he may have given up. What happened last week, Paul?
Yeah, interesting week last week.
I know I stunk.
Yes and no. You guys were half and half. Eric and Paul went 12-3. Andy and Fred went 11-4.
That's not bad, Fred.
I thought I was worse.
With the spread, Paul was 8-7.
Ooh.
Fred was 6-9.
Ooh.
Andy and Eric were 4-11.
Ooh.
So that's not a misprint. Andy went 11-4 and 4-11.
Wow. How did we get 15 games?
Because there was two teams that were on a bye.
Who was the one? I forgot who the bye was.
I don't know. So we have standings are thusly. Eric maintains his lead, 122-53-1. Followed by Paul, who made a good rise up the standings, 114-61-1. Fred, 113-62-1. And Andy, 110-56-1. With the spread, Eric also in the lead at 98-78. Paul also in second at 93-83. And Andy and Fred tied at 92-84. So no more last place for me.
No, that's good.
A solid second place.
No more Mr. Last
Place. Eric with a significant lead in both categories.
In both categories.
You know, with
correct.
5 weeks left. But I think it's, I say this a lot, but the fact that every one of us is over 500 against the number.
We shouldn't be in this
right.
in this job right now. We should be in Vegas.
You guys are 8 games over 500.
I look
not
at these Paul Lazarus guys and the Herald and all these other guys.
Jim Lazar.
None of them, they stink against the number.
Really?
Yeah.
How are they straight up?
Oh, and that's the other thing. Here's a rant. Do you guys listen to Craig Mustard and the other guy?
Larry Johnson?
Yeah, Larry Johnson on Saturdays.
No.
All right, they have a segment. Obviously, this guy's paying. They're a sponsor, but he's like a bookie. And he's got a service that you can call into and subscribe to it. It is the worst 10 minutes of radio ever. I mean, this guy is a complete fraud. And the fact that they're promoting him on EEI is ridiculous. And they should give him back his money and say, see you later. It's absolutely terrible.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Is he any good at predictions?
He's terrible. He gets it wrong every week. It's just awful.
Actually, Andy is 109-56-1. Did bad math there. He's one game less than I said he was. Okay. 109.
Oh, that's fine.
That's fine. Yeah, just keep doing that. Yeah. All right, let's get to the picks for this week. Of course, 3 games tomorrow on Thanksgiving, 2 of which are good. 1 is a kind of stinker.
Yeah, the early one is.
Yeah, that's the first one, 12:30.
The only
Eastern,
one I'll see.
Chicago at Detroit.
Detroit by 7.
I usually like to pick, even in bad years, I like to pick Detroit at home just for sentimental reasons. But this time I really do think it falls into Paul's line of thinking where two bad-ish teams, you take the home team. Detroit's a better team than Chicago can hope to be this year, and they should win the game. I'll take them to win and to cover, Paul.
Yeah, I like Detroit in this game as well. I think that they'll bounce back after getting beaten down by the Patriots last week.
Embarrassed, in their words.
And they will play better.
Second team in a week that after the game said we were embarrassed playing the Patriots. I like that. I like that. Conan the Barbarian type of stuff. You know, we'll take your women.
This is like 08 again, remember?
Kill your children.
The beginning of 08?
Type of thing.
Yeah. I do.
I like.
It's the last time they didn't make the playoffs.
I like when teams say we were embarrassed after the Patriots played them. Makes me feel good. So I'll take Detroit as well. Philadelphia at Dallas, 4:30. This is a good game.
Dallas by 3.
I still don't believe in Mark Sanchez. I know he's a better quarterback than probably he is thought of overall, but I don't think long term he can do it for the Eagles. So I'm going to go with the home Cowboys. How about them Cowboys to win and cover?
I have the same concerns that Eric has, but I'm going to take Philadelphia just because I think they're a better team than Dallas. And Sanchez has sort of been exactly what he was. He's throwing the ball for a reasonable amount of yards. They're asking him to throw it a lot more than he was ever asked to do in New York, and he has better weapons, but he's turning the ball over.
Yeah, he does turn it over.
You know, fairly consistently, and I think he'll continue to do that. But I'm going to take the Eagles on the road. Big game in the NFC North.
I'm with Paul. I'm going to take the Eagles. I don't believe in Dallas.
You know,
I don't believe in Dallas.
You guys,
I know,
laughed.
Romo's playing great.
And you guys laughed
at
me.
He's done that before.
I picked the Giants the other night because I really don't think Dallas is any better than the Giants.
And that's why I picked them.
The Giants
should
have won the game. Right. You know, they had the ball that goes off the tight end's hands for a pick when they're going in to make it an 11-point game. You know, the throw from Eli was a little high and behind him. That can't be an interception. You know, that changes the whole game. And even then, they had a chance at the end to come up with a stop, and they couldn't do it. Right. I just don't think Dallas is that much better than the Giants, even though
that's
one's
it.
8-3 and the other's 3-8.
That's it. I'm with you. All right, Thursday night, 8:30, Seattle at San Francisco, another big
this
game.
This is a great game.
Niners by 1.
I know the Seahawks have their struggles when they leave Seattle, but this is not really, to me, leaving Seattle that much. They're, you know, it's not like they're coming all the way to the East Coast, having to worry about a time change. It's a tough division matchup. I think they are still the better team than the 49ers, so I'm going to take them to win a tough, low-scoring game, kind of like last week against the Cardinals. I think it's going to play out somewhat similar, and the Niners haven't exactly been lighting up the scoreboard either, so I will take the defending Super Bowl champs to win a tough one on the road and to start to play a little bit better as we get close to the playoffs.
I think Eric has the game right, the way the game's going to be played. I think he has the winner wrong. I'm going to take the Niners Both teams just not playing very good football, and I don't think it matters where Seattle travels to, as long as they're not playing in their stadium, they're not the same team. In San Francisco, I think we'll win an ugly, ugly game, something like 17-13 or something along that.
I'm going to take Seattle just because, you know, I've predicted the demise of Harbaugh, and he has to lose games like this in order to, you know, really kind of have that come true.
Is he going to leave and coach Michigan?
I don't know.
A lot of people think he's going to be back now. I don't know.
Really?
I guess Kaepernick said that the other day. What? I don't know. It's a mess out there. Yeah. It's a mess. Another bad game for them. I mean, they beat the Redskins. They needed a
late score.
A late stop to
They
to
needed
beat
a fourth
Redskins.
Down conversion on that last drive to get
Yeah,
it.
I know. Believe me, five people had San Francisco in the knockout. That could have been huge.
Huge.
San Diego at Baltimore, Sunday at 1. One of many games Sunday
Baltimore
at 1.
Baltimore by 5.5.
Kevin.
Baltimore by 5.5.
The Chargers are a tough team to predict, and they seem to do this every year. They, you know, only this year they started out hot and then have tanked a little bit. But I think they'll be competitive. In the end, I'm going to have to say that the home Ravens will pull it off. But I will give the Chargers a little bit of credit, and I'll take the number. But overall, straight up,
yourself, San Diego.
Yeah, wow. I think on the road it's going to be tough. So I'll take the Ravens at home.
Wow.
Too.
Yeah, I will take the Ravens as well. I will lay the points though. I think they're going to win the game fairly convincingly. Little concerned road Monday night game, short week, but I think Baltimore is just better than San Diego.
What's that number?
5.5.
Yeah, I'll split it down the middle. I'll take Baltimore, but I'll take those points. Let's go to Cleveland at Buffalo.
Buffalo by 2.5.
Huge win over the Jets.
Buffalo by 2.5 at the newly cleaned out.
Do we know
Ralph?
Yes. Is it ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Or
do
it will
not
be.
Pay attention to anything, Fred?
I don't.
Geez.
I am busy.
I expect that from Andy.
I'm busy.
You know, the Bills had a very emotional week last week, and then having to go on the road for a home game, they took it out on the Jets, who are a bad team. They're not playing a terrible team this week. The Browns are better than I think a lot of people thought they were going to be going into this season. And I think overall they are the better team than Buffalo. So I will take the road Browns and Brian Hoyer to go in there and win the game.
I will take Buffalo with my home field theory. Two crap teams, I'll take the home team.
I'm going to take Buffalo too, but I don't think they're necessarily crappy teams.
Mediocre, how's that? That make you feel better?
Sure. In today's
NFL. I know the Patriots have to play Buffalo again. So
neither one would
beat
the.
We have to consider them.
Neither
good.
One could beat the 85 Bears, but I think you know they're in today's NFL. They're pretty good. Tennessee at Houston, Sunday at 1.
Tennessee at Houston
wouldn't beat the 85 Seahawks. Tennessee at Houston, Houston by 6.5.
Houston by 6.5. So we're back to Fitzpatrick, huh?
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
It
I'm
is.
Sorry to break up that tea party in there. My goodness. A lot of cackling hens.
Mettenberger, still the starter in Tennessee?
Yes. So
he's actually played reasonably well.
He's
played okay, and I think he might have a future in the league, but I will give the veteran Fitzpatrick and the home Texans and that defense a little bit of credit, and I'll take them to win and cover.
I am going to do the same, but I'm not feeling great about it. I think Houston's a little better than Tennessee, but
yeah, not much.
I just don't feel like
not much.
I don't feel like the Texans are that good. And
Foster's out, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. I'll go with Houston, but this is I could go either way on this one.
Yeah, I could see that. Tennessee just finding ways to lose, though.
Washington at Indianapolis, Sunday at 1.
Indianapolis by 9.5.
I have no.
Do they ever play on the road, the Colts? Doesn't seem that way.
It is three games in a row.
Yeah, they've had a nice little home streak here. So have the Saints, by the way, and they've lost them all.
The Saints lost them all.
I know, but I will take the better team, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. I just have no faith in Washington. That's a struggling organization right now, and. Come on now. I was going to start Colt McCoy,
yeah.
But I like Colt to go down to the Colts. Okay. So I'll take the home Indy team.
Yeah, I like Indy in this. You know, if they were embarrassed a couple of weeks ago, they had the right teams to follow that with Jacksonville and and Washington.
Yep, me too. Indy, both ways. Giants at Jacksonville. Paul's Giants at the Jaguars.
Would you roll the dice here if you were in a knockout pool?
pick a
3-8 team. Giants, I mean, yeah, Giants by 2.5. There's some intriguing bad teams that are available to pick this week. Oh. I don't know if I have the stones to do so. Giants by 2.5.
How many games have the Jags won this year?
One.
You know, if there's a game where they could do it, it would be this one. I just, I don't have any, I don't have enough faith in the Jaguars to do it. So I'll swallow hard and take the Giants on the road. I don't like it at all. But
yeah, I'll take the Giants too. Jacksonville's going to win some more games, but I'm going to unfortunately have to lose the pick when they win it because I just can't see picking Jacksonville.
No, yeah, I'll take the Giants too. Carolina at Minnesota Sunday at 1.
Minnesota by 3.
Wow, Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah. It's basically a pick 'em game then, but because they're the home team. But I don't believe in Cam. I never thought Cam Newton was going to be great, and he is this year really proving me right. To go on the road, again, two bad teams. I'll go with Paul's theory. I'll take the Vikings. Both ways.
Yeah, I'm going to take Carolina, and the only reason I'm going to do it is because that division is so bad, they're still in it, and Minnesota's not.
Right.
So I think that maybe Carolina, and I disagree about Cam Newton. I actually think he showed last year that when you have a team around him, he's fine, and then you get rid of everybody and ask him to do it all, and oh, by the way, then he's hurt, you have a disaster on your hands. But I don't think he's as bad as he's played this year. He's really only has one guy to throw to in Kelvin Benjamin. That's it.
I'll take Carolina as well. I just think they're better. They're not playing better, but I just think they're a better team. New Orleans at Pittsburgh, Sunday at 1. New Orleans at
Pittsburgh. By 3.5.
Well, if they couldn't win at home for three straight weeks, asking them to do it on the road in a place that's as tough as Pittsburgh can be, is asking a little too much. I'll take the worthless hot dogs both ways.
Yeah, I'll take Pittsburgh too. I'm a little bit concerned with the Saints going against that dreadful defense, but as Eric just said, they couldn't do it at home. Right. I don't see why they're going to do it on the road.
Me too. I'll go with Pittsburgh Sunday at 1 still. Oakland at St. Louis.
St. Louis by 7. This is another one I'm sort of thinking about, Freddie.
Okay.
Told you there's a few bad teams that I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
St. Louis by 7.
They're at home. They've played some good teams. They've lost some very good teams and played very well in those losses.
Yep.
St. Louis has.
And they've beaten some good teams.
I think that at home they should be able to take care of business. And I'll say that they win by double digits, 10 points. I'll give them the credit.
I'm with Eric. I'm going to pick St. Louis and I'm going to lay the points. I think Oakland's probably still celebrating that victory from 10 days
right.
ago.
Me too. St. Louis. Cincinnati at Tampa Bay Sunday at 1. Cincinnati
by 4.
Cincinnati has really irked me this year. They do. They are. They're first place in a tough division with everyone with a winning record. They're the anti-NFC South. And playing a team from the NFC South, who, like you said, Paul, with the other game, they have something to play for, but I don't think they're good enough to play for it. So I will take the Bengals on the road to win and cover.
Yes, I like the Bengals in this game. Much better team. Always dangerous putting faith in the Bengals, but I'll do so here.
Me too, Bengals. Okay, Sunday 4:05, Arizona at Atlanta.
Arizona by 2.5.
2.5.
Boy, this is tough because Arizona typically doesn't travel well to the East Coast, but they're the better team. The Falcons have really been frustrating this year. Boy.
Mike Smith with a real boneheaded move last week.
Yeah.
What did he do exactly? I heard that time management was an issue.
Yeah, it was
what did
a clock thing. He called timeout at the end when he really didn't have to and allowed, who were they playing?
Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Yeah, they allowed Cleveland more time on the clock than they would
but
have
But what
had
was otherwise. The situation specifically?
It was lining up for field goal, I believe.
Instead, and instead yeah. of just letting it run
Let
down,
it down,
instead of letting it run
out,
down, he called timeout. And his explanation was, well, they were probably going to call timeout anyway. But why
yeah, let them do it?
Why do them a favor? Yeah.
Well, first of all, if they were going to call timeout, that's one less timeout they would have had with
exactly.
44 seconds left.
Exactly.
But yes. I was under the impression it was more egregious than even that.
No, it was
the way they were
that
talking
was
about it.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I hate to do it, even though I think Arizona's a better team. I'll take the Falcons
really?
At home. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, not me. I'll take
me
Arizona.
Me too, Arizona. Okay, we're going to skip over New England and Green Bay. We're going to go to Sunday night. Denver at Kansas City.
Denver by 1.5.
Denver by 1.5 in Kansas City.
I don't like the way the Broncos have played lately, and Arrowhead, as we saw, is always a tough place
it's
to
be
play.
Rocking.
It is.
This stadium's rocking. Don't come on knocking.
I don't know if that's the reason, but I'm going to take the
this is in the head.
I'm going to take the Chiefs to win this game outright.
Yeah, I'll take Denver on the road.
I'm taking the Chiefs. Chiefs. Monday night, Miami at New Jersey.
Another one of those bad teams I'm thinking about, Freddie.
Boy, the boos are going to start. Right after the anthem.
Miami by 5.5.
I don't even think it'll be close by halftime. Dolphins will go on the road and win easily.
I wish I had the faith that you guys did. I will take Miami just because of how bad the Jets have looked.
And it's Geno Smith this week,
Miami
right?
Miami just doesn't win on the road.
Again?
Looks like it, yeah.
I will take Miami.
Yeah, me too, Miami. Okay, now we go back to Sunday, 4:25, New England at Green Bay. Fox, this is on Fox.
Green Bay by 3.
This is on CBS.
CBS.
Nansen Sims.
Green Bay by 3.
Disrespect.
Word.
It's
outrageous.
They're playing great, the Patriots have been. And if they're going to lose another game this year, this is the one that I think is the most logical. It's a tough place against a really, really good team. Probably the best team in the NFC at this point. I find it hard to think that they're going to go in there and have their way with the Packers. So I think this might be the last game that they lose this year. So
don't do it.
Green Bay.
Don't do it.
Green Bay both ways.
Wishful thinking.
I think the train just keeps on rolling, Fred. A couple of emailers talked about the early lead and, you know, playing the game from in front, that's what the formula has been. I know that's what Green Bay has done as well, but I don't think they can do it against the Patriots. Too much offense, too much Gronk, and more defense than they have. Mm. And I think they win 34-27.
Well, that's the key. I think, you know, when you look at all the different things, the Patriots have the better defense. The offense is maybe the same. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
But the defense, I think the Patriots have the edge. Green Bay has that home field advantage. Can't count that out, but Patriots are a pretty good road team. So I'm going to go with the Patriots here.
So this Fred year. And I will take the Patriots.
Yep.
And Eric, as usual, takes the other team.
All right. And we'll get Andy's picks.
We're not responsible for what Eric does every week.
No, fans.
I picked them last week, Paul, for God's sake.
And fans were upset about that.
And they won.
They were,
right. And they won.
But they want you to pick against the Patriots.
I don't care what fans want.
I know, but I'm just saying that.
I don't care what fans want.
You made a lot of fans very happy with your pick.
Last week.
This week.
Yeah,
well, this week.
They won't be happy if the result comes true.
True. Absolutely not. They'll be very angry at you.
So, Freddie, in a knockout type situation, you know, hypothetically. You know, you're down to the nitty-gritty here. Out of 529,
well, I don't know if
let's
I want to give
let's say there are less than a dozen people
Let's say
left,
there were
right?
11 left.
The stakes are too high here.
You started off at 529. Would you have the stones to pick a St. Louis?
Well, what are your options?
Against Oakland?
What are your options?
I'm just trying to pick
the ones
best
we just
game.
Went, the whole list
I'm giving
we just
you
went
these
through.
As options.
Yeah, but I don't know
I can't
what
pick
you have
Indian,
left.
I can't pick Indianapolis.
Okay.
That's a, you know, they're at home against Washington. I can't pick them. But you have Miami against the Jets.
Yeah.
You have St. Louis at home against Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Giants at Jacksonville.
It's a tough one.
Of those, I think St. Louis.
St. Louis at home against Oakland.
The Miami Jets one is good because you think that the Jets have laid down at this point. I mean, but
yeah, but
I don't know.
You know, division game is always tough.
Yeah, but I'm really thinking. But Miami really think has a lot to play for. They're in the running.
I'm really
they
thinking
are.
Of St.
They're really
they
in
are.
The running.
I know.
You know.
Really, I would go St. Louis.
I'm really thinking the home team, St. Louis, non-division games. Division games sort of worry me.
Yeah. I would.
I'm
would
thinking
go
about
there.
Rolling the dice, but then I'm like, if I get knocked out, am I really going to get knocked out picking a bad team like St. Louis?
Yeah.
Like, I'd be so mad at myself.
How many people are left?
11.
11 people. Anyone make the call yet? About
No one's contacted me about okay. a split.
Yeah. Wow. That's a top. Well, I don't want to get involved because the stakes are too high here.
Wow.
Meow.
Well, I don't want to be the guy, you know.
No wonder why Ronald
Fred,
Robinson
you told me
you.
That the so-and-so would, you know.
I would go St. Louis.
Like,
Paul.
I would do that. Like, I ask for, like, your, and I'm going to go to you and.
Say, your opinion was bad.
Yeah, you cost me the pool. You owe me 12 grand. Yeah.
I would go St. Louis.
You know, units. Hypothetical.
Right, right.
Ducats.
All right, John's here for
small
the playbook.
Like, small like 10
Fred, what's going on?
What did you
on?
Pick, Eric? What did you pick? You picked Green Bay?
Yes.
By how much?
They were by three was the spread. So
not only
win
did
and
he
cover.
Pick Green Bay, John.
I didn't get a
cover.
Score. Yeah.
Okay.
Not only did he pick Green Bay, he's right. wearing his green crew neck sweater.
He is. That was
he
not
is.
Intentional.
Oh,
I swear to God.
Baloney.
Wow. Wait a minute.
Baloney.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You know that green is my favorite color.
What are you, Kermit the Frog?
No, it's not easy.
Oh, okay.
Being green.
But this was not intentional whatsoever.
Did you hear they accused Aaron Rodgers of putting a little thing out to the Minnesota Vikings because he was drinking purple or
what are you
grape
talking
crush?
About?
he was drinking grape crush after the Minnesota game, and they thought that he was
that he was taking a shot,
making a shot. But he says that's ridiculous. I've been drinking grape crush after games for years.
Eric, I get something new. I'll back you up here. Okay.
Dun, 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 dun. Go pack, go.
That's a Fred's
that's an archive.
That's
wow. Great.
That's what Fred's going to be singing
wow.
on Sunday. Yeah.
I like that. That's good.
Give us
that'll
that one more time.
That'll be
one
his
more time.
New team.
Go one more time.
Pack, go.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun,
that's
dun,
what
dun,
they
dun,
do.
Dun.
Go pack, go.
Is that what
yeah.
they do?
Yeah, at the stadium. All the fans do that. Yeah. You'll hear it.
Okay.
I like it.
I'm really looking
forward
to
first time.
My maiden voyage to Lambeau.
Eric will hear it, but he won't be joining in the chant. Nice.
I can't wait to experience the Lambeau, and it's going to be frozen. That's the great thing. We're going to be there when it's frozen.
Yep. Lambeau Field.
Do you know that frozen tundra is redundant? Redundant.
That is correct,
yes.
Fred.
Tundra
glad
is,
you brought that
tundra
up.
Is frozen.
Right? And did you know that the great misnomer in NFL films history is that John Facenda, the voice of God,
right.
he never said frozen tundra of Lambeau
really?
Field. No, he never did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Nope, because it is a redundancy.
Right.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I challenge you to find frozen tundra used together in that
wow,
phrase.
One of those.
Never.
Wow, that's a good
great myth.
Bit of a knowledge.
Great myth.
Yep.
Big myth.
Yep. But tundra, by definition, is frozen.
Already frozen.
Is frozen. Okay. Yep. That is correct.
All right, John's got the playbook. What do you got going on today?
Field Yates is going to join. I wish we had some fantasies. Field Yates will join us to talk about not only the matchup with Green Bay, but get some of his thoughts, maybe from an NFL perspective, on what the Patriots did with Jonas Gray this last weekend, missing his, you know, practice and then having to be sat out for the entire game and realizing that it probably wasn't a big part of the game plan anyway last week. And how does that affect this week? Because it certainly seems like the running game should come back in big style against Green Bay if this team is serious about winning the game, right?
Absolutely.
I would think so.
I think he gets some carries.
Control
I think he gets carries too. Yeah. I think he'll be back.
Message was sent, I think.
Young field.
I hope you're right.
Young field.
And because today is the last day before the holiday tomorrow, we'll be off tomorrow. We're turning Prediction Thursday into Prediction Wednesday.
Okay.
So cards and letters need to start coming.
Sounds good. All right, John's in the playbook. Then the Bob Soucy show at 4 o'clock.
No fantasies?
No fantasies.
No fantasies today.
Maybe after
not tomorrow.
The
we're off tomorrow.
Dun, 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 dun. Go.
PFW
go.
Show tomorrow night, 7:30 at CSNNE. Everybody have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. And
Have a Thanksgiving.
Have a Thanksgiving. Pre-game social.
Oh, yeah, what time?
That's right? On Sunday.
Sunday? Yeah. What time?
2:15.
2:15.
What do we do?
Yeah.
2.
2 o'clock.
I'm told 2.
2 o'clock for pregame social, and then you'd have the Xbox One. We'll see you on Tuesday. Next. Dun, 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 dun. Go, Pat, go.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.